The Drew and Mike Show is rolling for Tuesday. Mark and Brandon, Trudy's back. And, oh boy, there is some really busy, busy items, many busy items to chew on today for the show. And also we have some rock and roll deaths. I watched the, it was Joe Strummer's 68th birthday. They had a charity event for that.
How was that?
It wasn't bad. You know, I haven't really liked any of these yet because it seems like everyone's determined not to rock very hard. I swear, I was watching it yesterday and there were a lot of good people playing. What's his name from,
Jeff Klinghoffer was
Wilco.
There from...
Jeff Tweedy from Wilco was playing. And Tom Morello. Mm-hmm. And Josh Homme. Mm-hmm. And it seemed like, I swear to God, it seemed to me like somebody next door was trying to sleep and they didn't want to wake them up. They just wouldn't really sing all out and they weren't playing all out. It was just, I don't know, I guess that it was sort of a soft birthday party. And they were raising money for...
Well, I hope he doesn't hear it.
Yeah, I'm not sure he will.
It's really weird, isn't it? I mean, he is dead.
Yeah. And people were talking to him, including Bruce Springsteen. And Joe Strummer is one of the coolest guys. They were going through some of his either lyrical quotes or just things he said a lot. Like, you know, if you're looking, look forward. Don't look backward, look forward. And there were many others, and they were all really... Not like so much up with people, but just good common sense.
I've heard that motto before. Huh?
I don't know if Joe ever planned to be a life coach, but I think he would have been a good one.
Oh, my God. He's so deep.
You really weren't that deep. It sounds like it. But I don't know.
Or a driving instructor.
I love the guy. I thought he was fantastic.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you, the performance they have, in fact, we should just go ahead and play it. At the very beginning, I was going to get into the deaths of the last member of the Heartbreakers, Walter Lure. I mean, the fact that there's a Heartbreaker still alive, because that was like a band full of Keith Richards with Johnny Thunders, Jerry Nolan, both went down with drugs. And the third one, was it Rath? I don't know what happened to him. I think he died in 2012 or 2014. Mm. And Walter was a big junkie. But he lasted to the, at least till the 40th anniversary of LAMF, Loud as a Motherfucker, which was... a dynamite album from 1977. And anyway, why don't we hear the beginning of the Joe Strummer thing, which I thought was really cool. And Joe talks in here too, so maybe he'll bail me out.
Oh, from the grave.
Yes.
That's pretty cool.
They had like a 3.5 minute delay.
Yeah,
did I send it to you?
I'm waiting for the walk up. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like,
Joe, we're gonna have your name on screen. Would you like anything under your name? Would you like Mescaleros? If it clashes or anything like that.
I'd like you to write punk rock warlord, with warlord being one word. Music is not the point. What matters is how much spirit you put into it, how much intelligence you put into it. Does it have any meaning? You know, will it communicate to other people? When you really communicate to other people, that's when they say that you're the greatest rock and roll band in the world. Because all we're doing really is trying to communicate something.
Sounds like a great one.
It's pretty deep.
Who's that guy in the violin?
People
notice there's a guy on stage with a violin.
They want to.
I don't
people
know who that
is. They're doing bad things to each other because they've been dehumanized. It's time to take the humanity back into the center of the ring. Without people, you're nothing. That's my spiel.
Oh, police on my back.
Right.
Yeah.
We're definitely going to need some vocal assistance.
Oh, my God. Watch the drummer,
so please, if you've got a voice, let's have some ripping
can
it
anybody
out.
See
all
this?
Right.
No.
Okay.
Anyway, let's get this one on.
I'll let Mark tell you. Watch the drummer. It's like, I swear, he injects energy in your body for watching.
This is power.
Appropriate song.
Oh, yeah, he's pretty pumped up, that drummer.
He's hitting the drums pretty hard.
How much did you donate to the NIVA Emergency Relief Fund, whatever that is? Fundraiser?
It's a fundraiser for rock and roll venues, as well as they raised $40,000.
I don't know what NIVA is.
I don't either. That's not the website they were using, though. The website was...
I'm just watching on YouTube. They've raised $40,000 for them to preserve independent live music venues, is what it says.
That's something. Oh,
yeah. No, that's good. That's a very important thing. It's a fundraiser.
By the way, that
like
same
St.
song.
Andrews.
Yeah, like St. Andrews, yeah.
Police on My Back, a really great song for 2020. Billy Joe Armstrong's been doing his Monday, like Rainy Days and Mondays, Monday release or whatever, his cover song. Have you guys been following that at all?
No.
The Carpenters?
He's doing a new Carpenters song every week.
He hasn't done any Carpenters yet, but he did do an Eric Carmen song last week.
Oh, really?
And the week before that, he did Police on My Back.
Huh.
Which, wow. When I saw that, I was like, oh, wow, cool, Clash song. And then then it said, by the Equals. And I was like, the Equals? Who are the Equals? Well, in England in 1965, this is another one of those covers where you think, when you hear the original version, it's the one you don't know.
Who are they?
They were rock and roll's first big interracial band. Eddie Grant was in the band.
Oh,
and he
would
later do Electric Avenue. I mean, like,
yeah.
15 years ago, Romancing the Stone, but they did Police on My Back, the song The Clash. I mean, The Clash owned that song as far as I'm concerned, because I didn't even know who the Equals were. Maybe some people do. But they had a big hit in Britain called Baby Be Back, I think it was.
And he was black.
It was a number one in 1968. But anyway,
baby, won't you light my fire?
If you're not checking out those Billy Joe Armstrong covers, he puts one out every Monday. In fact, there's probably one today. And The Police on My Back was really good. And Eric Carmen of the Raspberries, nobody expected that, but people were digging it. It's called That's Rock and Roll. So if you're looking for something to
entertainment,
listen to. Yeah.
Because entertainment's getting really thin.
And it got a little thinner yesterday.
What?
Over the weekend, it got a little thinner. We lost... Well, first of all, Justin Townes Earl, Steve Earle's son, I wasn't really following his
Never
music.
Never heard of him.
He put out 9 albums. Steve Earle's in every rock and roll documentary. That's how I know Steve Earle so well. I mean, I knew who he was, but honestly, he is...
Never heard of him.
He is always available for a doc. So that was terrible. And he was named after Townes Van Zandt, who's a great songwriter. A lot of people don't know. Frankie... the drummer from Quiet Riot, Frankie Benelli. Yeah, he died.
Yeah.
He had cancer, I think, for 16 months.
Oh, yeah. Pancreatic. Ugh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, man, he was...
And Jack Sherman.
Jack Sherman from Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Yeah.
One album?
One album, and also on that great version of Higher Ground, the Stevie Wonder song.
Oh, he's on that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is that on that one album?
Just for that.
Oh, he came back for that. No kidding.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, the other...
That's a great song.
Oh, fuck yeah, it is.
The other one was Walter Lure. And I really think he's one of those people that most people don't know. In fact, when I tweeted out today, I want to take a look at who likes it, because I'll know they're cool. if they like the Walter Lure RIP.
I better go like it really quick.
Okay, we're going to love it.
Cool in my book. But he was part of that Heartbreakers band that put out LAMF, and he was...
Not to be confused with Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers.
No, and you know what? These guys were the Heartbreakers first, and what they did when Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers came along, they became Johnny Thunders and the Heartbreakers, because there was confusion, although I think Tom Petty's Heartbreakers certainly sold a lot more records.
Yeah.
But there's so much story behind, I mean, all the great punk books like Kill Me Please gets way into the Heartbreakers, because... Johnny Thunders was such a romantic figure, and I guess it's because he did so much heroin, you never knew if he was going to make it through the song, and somehow he always did, and you always see, any video of the Heartbreakers you see on YouTube, it's always a jam-packed, smaller, you know, it's never Madison Square Garden, but it's always packed to the rafters, and Walter Lure was the last piece of that puzzle, because he had the New York Dolls back in the early 70s, Johnny Thunders and Jerry Nolan left because they ran out of drugs, so they quit, went to New York, where they picked up Richard Hell, and Richard Hell, nice the Voidoids, name. And Television. He left Television, I guess, so this is kind of almost like an all-star punk band, but he would leave.
That's kind of an oxymoron, right? You'd think punk bands shouldn't be an all-star band. From the roots, from the ground.
They should hate themselves.
Yeah, well, they all do.
Richard Hell was about to announce that he wanted to sing all the songs and Thunders could sing a couple when Thunders was about to tell him the same thing, and so they threw him out of the band, and here comes Walter Lure, who was a very talented singer and guitar player. In fact, he's singing this song. And they wrote about drugs a lot. Too Much Junkie Business, Chinese Rocks, Born to Lose.
Great name for a song, Too Much Junkie Business.
Yeah,
I like that.
People chant for it. Chinese Rocks was a big song, as was, well, let's see, Walter sang another drug song. And he would always act out the, you know, plunging the thing into his arm and tying his arm up.
Oh, well, what if a kid sees this? What are they, all the questions they're going to ask?
Oh, these were adult-only venues, of course.
Well, yeah, but it's on YouTube. A kid could see it now.
But they were invited to go to London when punk really started happening over there in 76, I believe. And they went with... to play with the Damned, the Sex Pistols, and the Clash. And I guess that tour was quite something. The band was beautifully sloppy. And Walter... really interesting guy. He was bisexual, which they knew, but very few others knew. He did have a son. Somewhere during the Heartbreakers, he got a girl pregnant, and I guess he didn't know, or he didn't know it was his kid. Anyway, this kid came up and introduced him to Walter when he was leading the Waldos, I think around 2005 or 10. So he and his son became great friends, and he died with two grandchildren and a son, as it turned out. And he also, around 1980, when the Heartbreakers broke up, he recorded with the Ramones, which I didn't realize Walter Lure played. He played on three Ramones albums, and he sang backup on a couple Ramones songs, I think. And then he started coming on to me. And then, and then his father was in on Wall Street in some Lehman Brothers-type place.
Oh, wow.
And so he got trained there while he was still addicted to heroin. First 8 years of his Wall Street career, he was doing heroin very quietly, if one can do that, which I guess Walter could. He quit in 1988, and he ended up making gobs of money on Wall Street. Gobs of money. He was a really successful finance and stockbroker guy. But he was diagnosed with liver cancer in June of 2020, so he went fast.
What a life.
Yeah, the last Heartbreaker Standing. Anyway, so
fucking great guys.
So that was
a fucking asshole of a day.
It was a lot of death.
Man, I got to tell you, I was playing that song off YouTube, and one thing on the side is... I almost,
which one?
I'm going to save it for later.
Chunky Business?
Yeah, but on the side, one of the up next, you know how YouTube does that?
Oh, yeah,
you
yeah.
Really go down the rabbit hole. Top 10 times TV talk show host cried on television. I'm going to save it for later, but believe me, I'm marking it because that looks awesome.
I have to tell you, Johnny Thunders has some of the internet clips that... people just can't get enough of because he's so wasted. There's one famous one at CBGB's where his tongue is just darting all around his mouth. And I'm like, I don't know what drug he's on. I don't know what does that. People are speculating in the comments, of course.
What would they say?
Great guy.
People are saying cocaine. Other people are saying, well, if you do enough heroin, this can happen.
Do you remember David Bowie on, was it Dick Cavett?
Oh, yeah. He was so high. He was so coked up. Yeah, he was doing a lot of... It's funny that, but I can't picture Bowie doing a lot of drugs. That seems so weird to me, but he's doing a lot. Doing a lot of everything.
I think he had a lot of teeth grinding going on or something. Yeah. In retrospect, then, Lois. Oh, that's what that was.
Can you believe how many big people Dick Cavett had on that show?
Cool. He's the coolest cat around, man.
He was very, what's the word? Erudite? He still always used that word.
Erudite.
Yeah. I think it means snobby. I think it means you know a lot of big
snobby.
Words.
I mean, you know the definition of erudite. I can't even pronounce it. It's such a big word.
He was a smart guy. He was very sharp. He may have gone over the heads of a lot of people, but he did, I guess for some reason, he had a tie-in with Woodstock. So a lot of the Woodstock people stopped in, he was in New York, so they would stop in New York City and come on a show, including Jimi Hendrix. Who was wearing looked like a kimono or something.
It seems about right.
Really weird.
That's very Hendrix.
And,
cultural appropriation?
Let's see.
Whoa, he had Salvador Dali on his show?
He did.
Whoa. That must have been
that
weird.
That dude had a weird mustache.
He had the best
Yes, he
mustache.
Did. I believe he had Sly Stone on from Woodstock, too, and Sly's always a fascinating list. Letterman had Sly Stone on a couple times.
Hmm.
They were a good combo. But he had John Lennon on, George Harrison... I mean, he had big, big, big musical guests. And, you know, Tom Snyder did, too, on The Tomorrow Show.
Oh, really?
True, did you ever watch The Tomorrow Show with Tom Snyder?
Yeah, I've seen a lot of his shows. Not any that had any great, significant guests. I just remember the smoking.
Yes, he was famous for his cigarette smoking. Always.
But he had a great show.
Yeah, he was a unique guy. But he for some reason, it might have been the time, he had a lot of the new wave people on that you would never think would be on Tom Snyder. And then, of course, there's those weird... Boy, that'd be a good category, actually. The guests that fit the show the worst, however you say that. Dinah Shore had David Bowie and Iggy Pop on. Okay. Dinah Shore.
Dinah Shore sounded like maybe she partied, like it was a, you know? Like she was into Burt Reynolds, right? Weren't they at that?
Yes, the big thing was that Burt was nailing her, and Burt was like 35, and she was 53 or 52.
What networks were these on? And were they on all at night? Or
no.
Were they,
well, Dinah,
were they on?
Dinah was like midnight. Afternoon fare for the ladies.
Oh, like Ellen.
Yeah, like Ellen. And Mike Douglas was on in the afternoon. Wasn't Merv on in the afternoon?
Mike Douglas used to make me moist when I watched the show. I admit it. I would get moist when I watched the show. Only white man ever did that to me was Mike Douglas.
But the rock and roll people just didn't have that many places to go. I mean, honestly, because Johnny Carson was not a rock and roll guy.
No.
I think that Mike Douglas people just died is what happened.
It's probably.
I know, because my aunts were like in their 70s watching that.
I know. I always wondered, how did these people get on? I mean, as a kid, there was such a gap between kids and adults when I was a kid. I mean, it was just miles wide. And then I had older brothers and sisters, of course, who were, you know, were becoming very hip and cool.
Yeah.
Brother had a motorcycle, was in a band.
Ooh. What was his band's name?
I don't remember his band's name. He was in a couple bands. I think he was in a band as early as 6th or 7th grade. But I remember he had some really mod clothes.
Cool.
I don't know if you remember this, Trudy. Do you remember when thick belts were in?
Oh,
on
yeah.
Dudes? Yeah. I know he had some big
holes?
Belts. Yeah. Polka dot shirts, you know.
Paisley was huge.
I think he was into some Paisley.
You know what? I don't know where to shop for any of that, but I would love to find some internet site that sells those kinds of things with the bell bottoms and the stripes and all that. You have a pair of those pants.
There are some UK clothing sites, I think, that are cooler for that kind of stuff.
God, really? Okay.
Facebook Live brought to you by Emergency Response Services Incorporated. Water is everywhere in your home, leaky sink, washing machine, behind your fridge, under your dishwasher. Keep an eye out for water in your home. Not just floods, but don't miss a flood. Water is the enemy, and Emergency Response Services Incorporated will help you by calling 877-JOB-DONE, put it on the fridge, or visit 877-JOB-DONE.com. And Royal Oak Downtown Development Authority giving away more Royal Oak bucks. In fact, the first 1,000 to visit the website, which is, visit Royal Oak?
Yeah. Right at the top. I wrote right
okay,
at the top.
Visit RoyalHook.com. Okay. It's in pen, so I didn't pay attention
to it. Oh, thanks. There's also a link on our site to it.
Yeah, visit RoyalHook.com.
So if I want you to not pay attention to something, I should write it in pen?
Yes.
Okay.
Get your $20. They'll work it out with you. And then, of course, you can go downtown, spend it anywhere, and you can take the $10 off for the Lyft ride in or out if you want to use GO2. Number 2, RO. Go to Royal Oak. And that's 5 p.m. to 2 a.m. Thursday, Friday, and then 10 a.m. to 2 a.m. Saturday, Sunday. Mm-hmm. And free parking through August in the parking garages. That thing is really rocking. I mean, every day it's like, we get the dashboard. There was a guy that was at Macy yesterday, and I said, I'll see you on the dashboard tomorrow.
Oh, that's cool.
I'll check you out in the day. I mean, how exciting to see him on the dashboard.
Yeah.
So there you go. And, oh, boy. You know, I was going to say maybe we could start with Lily after the first break.
Sure.
Lily, the AT&T girl, I swear, every time I see her, I just go, oh.
I know.
She's really, really pretty. And then if you deep dive on Lily, the AT&T girl, you find out that she's rather voluptuous as well.
It's really the only reason I have an AT&T phone. Right?
Because well, you think Lily has rubbed her boobs on it or something?
Well, I like their choicing and marketing, so, you know.
Her name's, is it?
No one wants to know.
Elena Vaintrub.
Why do you have to ruin the imagery? Her name is Lily, and she works for AT&T.
Lily Adams, yes. I think she's basically supposed to be their...
she makes $15 an hour plus commission.
Their response to Progressive's flow or something, because she's just the good old girl next door who's very pretty. And lately,
AT&T, I just want to say one thing, though. She did show up on Who Dated Who, and in fact, a very famous Hollywood person nailed her.
That's
so
right.
She's not a secret.
No, not at all.
Was it Leo?
Maybe he needed a phone.
Remember, we went down the list, and she was on there. She was on his list, and we're like, who's that? And say, like, oh my God, it's Lily.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't Leo. It was John Mayer.
John Mayer.
Oh my God. Can you believe
was also
that?
13, 14 years ago when we had never.
Why are you so low all of a sudden? I can barely hear you now all of a sudden.
What the hell's going on?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Was it just drop out like mid?
It just, as he was talking, yeah. Anyway. We'll fix it in post. Fix it in post.
Anyway, Lily. Lily was. Was she posting something on the AT&T site and all these creepy comments came in? And AT&T had to just shut it down. Is that what happened?
Essentially, yeah. They had to remove all of their comments.
So
who got that job? What intern got the job? I need you to go on Instagram and any big boobed comment about our AT&T girl, you have to remove them.
It's not just a one big boobed. I mean, what ended up happening here, which is pretty crazy, is people just jumped all over these videos that AT&T has been putting out for Instagram. And right away, there's a common theme. That common theme is milk, because the majority of these comments are
stupid.
Oh my God! Check out the milkers. I want more
milkers. I've never heard that.
What?
Because it's not a thing.
Check out those huge tits. I am gonna bust a nut right now. And so AT&T's
gotta love that.
They began to respond and just say, please don't use this type of language. And then
he needs some milk.
And then here's another one. You guys need to send Lily to any third world nation like my home country. We'll solve world hunger by sucking on them titties.
Oh, my God.
And let's see. Hey, does Lily's got an OnlyFans? I need to see more.
Oh, and OnlyFans. Yeah, sure she does. Oh, good brother.
One. I need those Mama. Big fat... I need those big fat milkers in my mouth.
Milkers? Does AT&T have a dairy that I'm not... I mean, they could now, but as they have one...
She's got huge nipples.
Hoo-ah. Hoo-ah.
Mama!
I'm going to bust all over my computer.
Oh, God.
Did you screenshot these, Brandon?
No, a lot of people screenshot.
Okay.
Do you have any other pictures we can show people on Facebook Live of Lily? When she's off work, not at... Yeah. That's my favorite. Gorgeous
is that,
shot.
Is that from
Look at those milkers.
What is that from?
She's getting ready to go out after a hard day working at the AT&T store.
And she seems unaware of the fact that her dress is extremely tight, that she got it at the tight dress store.
It's like she's trying to receive some milk right there.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, did she squirt herself in the face? Crazy.
It's gotten out of hand to the point where, like I said, AT&T has actually removed them. AT&T girl actually had to go on Instagram Live to address this because this is a big problem in her life right now.
What?
And yeah, dude, she's too hot. Check this out.
Maybe it just has to be with being a person on the internet, or maybe it's specific to being a woman on the internet. But it's because of your tits. And so, listen, that's why I'm here.
See, that just made it hotter.
Milk and Milky's comments and milk wagons and all of that, it hurts my feelings.
Fake!
Okay, Trudy, can you explain why that would hurt her feelings?
I don't know. It seems like she wants her feelings to be hurt.
So what can you tell me about your new offer?
I feel like she's unaware of the fact that her boobs are hanging out in all those pictures, and that might be why.
Well, they're, you know, even when she's Lily, they're really making an impression on that shirt.
They're
those poor buttons.
Those are power tubes.
Yeah, well, those buttons. Yeah. You know she's got the inside buttons as well, if you know what I mean. Double buttons.
Can you, since Brandon's mic is crapping out on us. Yes.
I know. I just texted him.
Do you know, are there any more comments from her?
Dan on Facebook Live. Yep, people hate women on the internet. What's she talking about? Yeah.
Is there any more comments? Any more of the lovely comments from the dudes? Or Brandon, if we covered?
I'm trying to fix my microphone.
Oh, man. What, it really, you are dead. You are so limp right now.
If you only knew the problems he had with no filter today, too. So.
Oh,
AT&T has got to be aware of the fact that they put her in that shirt, and it's one size too small.
Of course they know what they're doing.
So, come on.
She's really, I know there's something just really adorable about her. I don't know. I can't even put my finger on it. Is it the next door thing?
She looks,
when she's saying, oh, please stop it with the milkers and stuff. I mean, that came off really sexy to me. She looked really cute.
She was vulnerable.
Terribly. Maybe. And she says tits, too. That's kind of hot.
Oh, yeah. Don't let her fool you. She knows what's
her.
Going on.
Good for her.
You're sucked in, Drew.
Isn't she wasn't she in a comedy troupe? So she's got to have some kind of sense of humor. I want to see if she was in the Groundlings.
Oh.
I thought. I don't know.
She's trying to make it in entertainment because she would be doing the AT&T commercial.
I just remember one day, Brandon and I sat there and watched a sizzle reel of hers for like hours and hours.
Oh, really? She had a long sizzle reel?
Yeah. And we watched a lot of it. Or we just watched it a bunch over and over and over and over and over.
Well, last night, there were some things on TV. I mean, we had already discovered the power pill. I didn't finish it. I'm not sure I'm going to finish it.
No, you have to, man.
This is power.
I'm telling you, it's worth it for the battle on the boat is so ridiculous. But when these guys take power, it's pretty sweet.
You know, I got as far as the dude that was on fire.
That was pretty cool.
Machine Gun Kelly. Spoiler alert.
Oh, really?
Well, then you didn't see the other guy that takes power and turns into the Hulk is pretty sweet.
Okay, I'll keep watching.
And there's a guy that takes power and just blows up because he can't handle it because he's soft.
Well, there was also the series The Vow, which is about Nexium, and that was an hour long on HBO.
Six parts.
I don't know if that's going to live up to the hype because I thought it was a little slow coming out of the gate.
I thought it was terrible.
I feel like we know everything there is to know about that, don't we?
We might. Yeah. That's a bad sign when you don't see anything new in the first of six episodes.
Well, it really follows a guy who was very high up in the group and was a filmmaker, so he's got a lot of footage. But because he has a lot of footage, they didn't hire an editor.
No.
It just goes on and on and on.
You know what's funny about the footage was, okay, the guy is in Nexium for a significant amount of time, and what they do is they talk about Vanguard. Comes like, well, hopefully someday I get to meet Vanguard. And in my position, I'm going, Vanguard? I mean, Vanguard? Who is this prima donna Vanguard? But for some reason, this guy's like, oh, my God, Vanguard. I can't wait to meet Vanguard. I can't wait. So when he meets Vanguard.
By his name, not.
He records it, yeah. And he videotapes it like he's meeting Jesus Christ.
You've got a name that's not a name.
And he actually cries during... this is the first time. Oh. Can you imagine meeting someone for the first time and they start bawling while they're talking to you?
Although he did say the first time he walked in because they were at... it did focus a lot. I don't even know who this other lady was. Do you know who the other lady was? Yeah. Prefect?
Yeah, Prefect.
I don't know what her real name is other than Prefect.
What kind of a wiener name is that?
Prefect was very involved at the highest levels.
But this guy, the main guy, which, once again, terrible show, so I didn't bother writing his name down. When Rainier shows up at the house, he's like, he's just kind of like a little guy bounding in. I don't know what I expected, but it wasn't that.
Well, but then when they sat down and started talking, they had a five-hour conversation.
Oh, Jesus.
And all this guy does is bullshit. Yep. He's all bullshit. But anyway, I found myself much more entertained by 90 Day Fiancé because there's some really cool stuff going on there.
By the way,
breaking news with Mort Krim.
And I'm sure we'll get into a little bit more later, but Falwell Jr. has stepped down from Liberty University. Just came across.
Surprise. Oh, that just came across because I thought they announced that a while ago.
No, he stepped away, but now he's stepping down.
Ah, I see.
Which, that story, man, there's one really funny part to that story.
That story has been out there for a while. I read a long story about that. You know, who's this mystery pool boy that Jerry Falwell and his wife are taking everywhere they go?
Why is it even better that he's a pool boy?
Hey, because he sounds exciting for Mrs. Falwell.
We'll get into it later because the full story is...
I'm not even sure we know the full story yet because a lot of people seem to think that Jerry Falwell was digging this guy.
Well, he at least was there. I mean, he was being cucked willingly. But
he admits he was nailing Becky Falwell, Jerry's wife, and Jerry liked watching.
Yes.
Jerry, however,
Jesus
says...
Christ.
Jerry denies that, though.
Yeah, Jerry says he just found out about it, and he was so upset he lost 80 pounds. I mean, is that supposed to convince us?
I guess. It's a good diversion. It's a red herring.
Everything grosses me out today.
Yeah.
There's a lot of gross stuff.
Hi, Brandon. Welcome back.
Hello. How are you?
Hey.
Sounds a little better.
No, he doesn't. Sounds really low again. I don't know why.
Maybe he has anemia.
Okay.
I don't know. I can crank up my gain, but
that's
I don't
much
know.
Better. Stay right there.
All right.
Anyway, okay, let me do this. Our friends at Zot, Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, Ram, and Deals and D.com are at it again, selling cars like candy bars, piling them high, letting them fly, stacking them deep, selling them cheap. Because emptying the lot while the weather's still hot is why the summer clearance event at Zot hits the spot. So let's kill the rhymes. It's deal time. 2020 Ram Quad Cab Bighorn 4x4 as low as $188 a month. Or get a new 2020 loaded Jeep Compass at just $155 a month. Or the 2020 Jeep Cherokee Trailhawk 4-wheel drive. That would be the Jeep Cherokee. No, it's the Jeep Cherokee Trailhawk 4-wheel drive as low as $249 a month. And, of course, there's a Jeep Wrangler. Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram has the three largest Wrangler inventory, or the largest Wrangler inventory in the state, which sadly isn't as large as they'd like to be. But the good news is there's no better time to go to Zot and order your badass Wrangler exactly the way you want it. But first, why don't you go to dealsandad.com and check out all the great deals going on, because you might have a couple things you kind of like. And the Hall Financial Hotline will be open at some point, and Hall Financial is open with incredible interest rates, the lowest in many, I mean, it's like the low, low, low. How many times have they said that? And it went lower somehow. It did. So many people are refinancing right now. I know they had their, I think it was their biggest month in history in July. And it looks like this month could be just as good because people are taking advantage of getting down as low as 2.5%. That's insane. So give it a try. Call 248-308-5000 or go to DavidHallMortgage.com/Drew and Mike. NMLS number 1467435. Keep in mind the 19-day average. You don't want to do anything to hurt the average of our wonderful advertiser. And let's see, 1,700 five-star reviews. So there you go. Hall Financial, an equal housing lender. Well, something happened today that reminded me of something that happened about, I think, 2 months ago when I came in and I had just, I'd just been winding things up and I was just kind of bustling through Facebook. And I saw that post from that person who said they had a certain kind of sex with a certain person, or they knew someone who had had a certain kind of sex, a high school boyfriend.
Yeah.
I think we all know who I'm talking about.
Yes.
And it was just, you know, that, that there was butt sex. And it was...
like where this is going.
It was such a... it was just such a cheap shot. And I'm like, why would... you know, but every time you say, why would, it's like, well, duh, because there's so many people. Everyone has a voice.
Butt slam!
It's the United States of assholes.
Yeah.
No one's safe. Not even a person in that position. And in fact, you know, and I realize, like, to be complaining about this sounds almost silly, because the barn door has been open for so long that it's not closing, but it's still kind of amazing to me.
Will it ever contract, do you think?
I don't know. I don't think so.
You don't think people will start going, what is all this garbage? It seems like I'm not going to be on social media. Don't you think it'll contract?
I would think so, yeah. But
I do. I think so, too.
I want to think so.
I mean, I've stopped using a lot of them. I look at Twitter. That's about it. And that's mainly for entertainment.
I think people
purposes.
Do start to settle in, and they maybe get a little bored with it. But it seems there's always that new group of 15-year-olds who are ready to go in there and selfie out.
Yeah.
So today, the reason I connected to that previous one, and we talked about it, a lot of people knew what I was talking about because a lot of people saw the post. And it was just so shitty for a female politician to have somebody out there, you know, whether it's true or who fucking cares, but it just sucks. And it's really the politics in the end. Like, there's half the country or half the state that wants to laugh at that. And the other half that would be like, oh, that is really a low blow. Well,
there's the group of people that thinks it are surprised it's not a T-shirt.
Yeah, that's true. You know, she does love T-shirts, doesn't she? Well, you know, this week... we had the president's sister recorded by the president's niece.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's in the family, so, I mean, you can't blame anybody else. But if you remember, the president was recorded by his attorney.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, maybe it says something about someone when everyone records them. But
well, I've noticed
they have fascinating things to say.
They do.
I know this has been the defense. I think Kevin McCarthy was out there, and the focus is now on, she recorded. Who does that? What a bad person this is. It's
like, oh, boy.
It's like, yeah, but his sister still said all this stuff.
No, I agree. And that, in the end, and I'm not surprised his sister said that, to be honest, because I don't think they're super close, are they?
There was a she wasn't even at Robert's funeral.
I know, I saw that.
But
how did that come out? Was that in response to the fact that she said this about him? She didn't go to his brother's wedding or
I don't
funeral.
Think so. I will say this, Marianne.
But wasn't his funeral at the White House, and don't they have to be then invited?
Yeah, but she's a federal judge and his sister. She was very aware, because we always talked about how, you know, Donald did help her get that job in the 80s with the help of Roy Cohen.
Yeah.
She actually admitted that in one of the tape pieces, because she was really mad because Donald threatens her all the time. And he's like, I helped you do this. And she's like, he didn't help me do anything except for the time. But she was, you know, she did get that job somewhat on merit. But yeah.
I'm your sister.
Well, I'm sure she was pushed forward.
Oh, you're my sister.
Mary Trump, the niece, has certainly, I mean, she sold a whole book. I think she made, or what were we marveling at? The number of copies they sold, or was it the advance she got? Yeah. I mean, she definitely made a lot of cash off that.
Sure.
So what is this, service after the sale? She comes out with these tapes? Oh, well, is it because she never got into the business of him cheating to get in college, or her source? And I guess her source is Judge Trump.
Marion Barry. Trump Barry, yeah.
Yeah.
Just think of Marion Barry and had Trump in the middle.
She said, I believe he did that, or something like that.
Yeah, and then she said she did his homework.
Yeah. And
once again, who cares? Who cares if he cheated on his tests?
I think a lot of people care. I mean, some people care. It's just something to know or not know. And
big deal.
But you know, that's not even
what he is today. No, I don't think so.
That's not even the crux of it. That's an old story. We've known this for a couple days.
Sure.
The one about the other one a couple months ago about the butt sex. I mean, that's old news. But today it came out that the First Lady Melania Trump's one of her aides, who I think was part of the inauguration planning and did other things for Melania, she has a book, and she recorded the First Lady talking about Trump in a disparaging way and also talking about Ivanka in a disparaging way. So we have now the president being recorded by his attorney, and we heard all that. We have the First Lady being recorded by an aide, a White House aide, and... You know, I don't know what the laws are there, but
is that a that's federal. I mean, is federal a two-party thing?
I don't even know, but it's really more about. I don't think it's really even that big a deal. It's not like, I mean, I'm not trying to belittle my angle here, but I don't think a lot of people are going, "Hey, how can you do that?" It's more like I'm just stunned that even at this high level, the president and the first lady, there's really no protection against people recording you. Because Mary Trump got her book out, no problem. She made her money, no big deal. She's writing about the president in the most disparaging way.
What a mess!
It seems to me if he had any legal recourse that was significant, he would have taken it, right?
Well, he did. He did try to stop. Yeah, he tried.
Yeah,
to stop
but he didn't.
No, he wasn't successful.
And this what she taped of Trump's sister, who didn't know the tape recording was being made, that's out now too. So it doesn't matter if it's legal or not. But just the point is that this business of recording people is just really getting ugly, isn't it? And it's not because I'm going, oh, no, I had a pristine opinion of Trump or of Melania. Well, Melania actually didn't. I don't know what she did wrong.
The law is way behind the technology.
But we are talking about the president and the first lady.
Everything the president says should be recorded because he's a president. I mean, he wasn't when Cohen recorded him.
But the first lady, I mean, she can't even count on privacy or not being recorded.
No, isn't there a means of dampening the ability of your phone to record?
If there isn't, somebody needs to work on that because there are a few people in our world, in the power center of America who might want to be concerned about this because if it wasn't, and honestly, I'm really not worried about what. I don't really care. I'll read it. Whatever Ivanka said about Melania or Melania said about Ivanka and about Donald and what his sister says about him, it doesn't fucking matter. But there's a lot of people saying stuff that does matter. Mm-hmm. And somebody could just be turning their phone on and there you go. I mean, doesn't that seem so obvious that...
Well, a lot of books, though. I mean, look at Bolton's book. It has to be cleared because of state secrets and stuff.
Well, but these things are already out there. I mean, you can record it and give it to somebody, and it's done. It doesn't matter. I mean, these things don't always go through the proper channels.
I wonder if it happens more because of the whole thing about all these made-up sources. You know, there's a railing against using sources that are unnamed. So I wonder, are people doing it now to say, hey, if you want to challenge me, I have my source on tape. Think of it what you want. I don't know if it's necessarily
morally correct. Book is already out.
I'm not nuts about it. No, I know, but I wonder if she would have released that audio tape if people didn't, cast doubt on that stupid story that is so unimportant.
I don't even think people were talking about it.
No, I think you have a point there where somebody feels sort of like the burden of proof is on them. So
or else people are going to go, you're making that
in
up.
Court?
Well, but was, first of all, If her aunt says that, I mean, I guess it makes it more possible. It either happened or it didn't happen. I just don't think anybody was really that worked up about Mary Trump anymore. I mean, maybe it gives her book another boost. But I don't think anybody's going, there's the red bow for the Mary Trump story. Oh, I feel so good.
Yeah, I don't know why she released it.
And this chick that's recording Melania, I mean, I hate acting like recording the first lady is a big deal because we all know that I don't care about the first lady. Nothing bores me more than a first lady. I mean, it's just boring. I mean, if there's a book about first ladies, I promise you I'll never read it.
What if it's on Dolly Madison?
Yeah, who cares?
I don't. That's before electricity, anyway.
She saved the Washington picture.
But
you can't read a book that's before electricity?
No. If it's about a period where there was no electricity,
what about the Bible, Drew? There's no electricity in the Bible. Well, why do you hate the
that's
Bible?
A different category.
Drew hates the Bible. Fact. So stupid.
I don't know. I mean, there's really nothing that has caused great harm to great piles of people due to someone recording someone they're not supposed to record. But it's just so standard now. It's just not even a big deal
because it's easy. Because it's really, really easy to do. That's why. That's really why, because everybody has a recording device with them all the time in their phone. That's 100% why. Now, thankfully, there's still laws on wiretapping and wearing a hidden wire for the feds to use.
I would think, though, that once who was it that recorded Trump? Was it the stupid apprentice chick? Didn't she record Trump?
Omarosa.
Yeah, she recorded phone calls with the president. Yeah. I mean, this is the president of the United States. I know it's Trump, so Trump's a little different than your average president, and there's some people that leak into his world that should not be leaking into a president's world, but it's still the president, and it's still, I mean, this woman had no, I mean, did she even think twice about doing it? Did the aide to Melania Trump? No, they don't. It's just not a big deal, but maybe that's not a big deal. To me, it seems that if those people are recorded and nobody gives a fuck, then, I mean, I guess any kind of privacy is just over.
Oh, we gave up privacy a long time ago.
But recording people, I mean, we do not like when people record sex without telling us, but they still do it all the fucking time. Mm-hmm. There's a law in place, but I wonder what the percentages of people who are prosecuted for that versus the total, which is probably scary huge.
What did the guy that caused the fappening get?
He stole that, though. You know, he went into the cloud and broke in.
Well,
and stole
he's just doing the same thing that people who record sex without another person's knowledge are doing.
Oh, I think that's totally different.
What's different?
Because he's actually stealing someone else's property. That file.
But when you record sex with someone without telling them, that's a rather large violation of their.
And I don't know what the law is with video. I don't know. I only know the audio stuff just because we've had to really investigate it from recording phone calls, and we're a one-party state. I don't know. I don't know how video works at all.
What about the Aaron Andrews guy? He
got in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, for recording not sex, but. Yeah.
How many years did he?
The fappening guy's got 8 months, and I'll look for the Aaron Andrews dude.
8 months. 8 months. Yeah. I mean, they once put pictures out of some very, 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 very well-known people, lots of them. They're still out there, and he gets 8 months.
Mm-hmm. And Michael Barrett was the one who recorded Aaron Andrews through the peephole. He received a 30-month sentence.
Oh, wow. Is he out? He's out
probably
now, right?
He probably got out early.
30 months. Yeah.
What was the
speaking of out? Is Scott Peterson really going to get out?
No, he's just not going to be killed. He's not going to be. He's not going to be executed.
Why? Really?
No, I don't. I don't think he's hot anymore.
And there's
a
fly ball to left.
Well, we know Trudy's got the hots for murderers. She's so excited, by the way, Drew. There is a Jeffrey McDonald series coming to FX. She's so ready. She's so pumped.
I'm
Mark
amazed.
Sent me a picture of him the other day.
He looked good. I'll admit it.
Jeffrey McDonald. Killed his wife and three kids on an army base. He was a doctor.
Yeah.
And originally, he was convicted. They said it was some hippies that came in and did it.
Yes.
And yeah, right. that's Trudy's truth. So he went out to California. He was on the Tonight Show.
Yeah.
And he was real, you know, like his top three buttons of his shirt were unbuttoned. He thought he was hot.
Yeah.
He got a boat. He became a real ladies' man.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
And then, of course, they found out that he fucking did it. Mm. And they took him to court, and he's been in jail ever since. But
he still got his way with words, though, because he won Trudy and Clark over.
I know.
You guys were fighting over him, man.
But he's constantly telling his story. It's like, what new is there in his story? That was 1969, wasn't it?
But once again, it's 1969. There really hasn't been much on him. How many people really know the Jeffrey McDonald story now? It's such a good one to actually revisit.
I guess there are probably a lot of young true crime fans that don't know well.
That's all
it
the
seems
rage.
Like it comes up every 10 years, though.
I'm really bummed how bad The Vow was on HBO. It was just terrible.
I hope it gets better.
Well, so did you end up watching the whole thing?
I haven't finished it. Mark, I was falling asleep.
The very end of it was...
It was that bad.
It was pretty bad. And your mic sounds great now, just so you know. It was that bad. And by the end of it, the guy, the main guy who filmed everything, was married in Nexium. And she was really hot, by the way. They got married in Nexium.
Women in Nexium are beautiful. I mean, yeah. There's every reason that this should be easy to watch.
Hey, say what you want about Vanguard. He knows how to pick some pussy, right?
And he also, part of the cult is that they can only have 800 calories a day, so they stay hot. I mean, on the bright side, I'm just looking for a little sliver of light.
But I probably
stay hot and faint at all times. Bone them.
That's why they're easier to convince to do things.
That's not the best combination. I don't want hot and faint.
So at the end, he marries this chick in Nexium, and everybody at the wedding is in Nexium except for her mom, because, you know, it's a cult. And by the end of it...
Wait, so is her mom not invited?
Well, I think she really wanted her mom there, so her mom came along. But nobody else from the family, no other non-Nexium friends.
Oh, that's
nice.
That makes me trust the organization, though.
Well, that's what I mean. The end of the episode ends with a voice message from her to this guy about how she has some real concerns about the group and the women. And he's like, oh, come on, boo. Come on, come on, come on, come on. And so you can tell she's like, fuck you. Fuck this. I'm out of here. Ooh. You're cool. I'm out of here. So I'm kind of hooked, and I kind of want to watch episode 2, but I'm a sucker for things like that. I'll get teased into something.
Well, I have every intention of going back and trying to watch it. And I've always been fascinated by... What's his name? Vanguard.
Did you know
that? Because, I mean, he was sleeping with 15 of those women at the same time at the end.
Maybe that's the problem. There wasn't enough sex in the first episode. But there was a point. Did you know they cured Tourette's?
Nexium cured Tourette's?
Yeah. Yeah. By talking to the people with Tourette's.
You mean they cured those people?
Yeah. Yeah. There's a whole documentary on it called My Tourette's. Once again, they could have
hired.
Is
that something we can actually believe?
According to Nexium.
Does that mean that he does have the third highest IQ in the history of the world?
Maybe we should play that clip where they start building the myth of him. Should we play that?
Eddie Albert?
No,
I wouldn't play anything from last night, honestly. It was just.
But I like
all the. I hope it gets better.
There were a bunch of whoppers about how great Vanguard is.
Yeah. And those lived for a long, long time, and people actually believed them. Dr. Yaldo is back. He is doing his LASIK surgery. He's doing his multifocal implants. You can get $1,500 off, too. And, you know, a lot of these things, COVID, it seems, I mean, I've gotten used to being shut in for the most part. But, I mean, it is a time when you can do a lot of things that maybe you normally don't feel you have time for because, I mean, maybe you're home, working at home, and it just gives you a little more flexibility. Dr. Yaldo is seeing people. If you want to call 1-800-398-EYES, you have a consultation and find out if there's something he can do to help you and give you $1,500 off. Be sure to tell him that we sent you. Mm-hmm. These surgeries are safe. And, of course, they're complying with all the regulations related to COVID-19. If you're 45 or over, ask Dr. Yaldo about multifocal lens exchange. You can see the microscopic print with your FarVision in high-def HD. And, again, Dr. Yaldo, 1-800-398-EYES and $1,500 off.
That moment,
go ahead.
When you get that surgery done and he says,
open your eyes!
It's really amazing. Because I had it done a long time ago, and it's really weird. The first time you open your eyes and like look long distance, like, oh my God,
oh,
I can see.
I know. It is amazing.
Yeah.
I can't imagine.
No, it's.
I can only compare it to when I got glasses, and I went, oh my God!
Hey, how old were you when you got glasses?
I think it was about 30.
Oh, really? You were that old?
I still... I don't need reading glasses.
Really?
Yeah, and people keep saying, oh, well, you're going to real soon.
Oh, thanks,
but
dicks.
Not yet.
No, I was, I think I was sixth grade, and I just remember the gym teacher going, you can't read that clock over there? Because I said, what time is it? You can't read that clock? I'm like, no. I had no idea I couldn't see that far. And then you go in and it's like, oh, wow, I can see. It's a miracle. It's really weird because you don't realize how bad your eyes are deteriorating.
Well, that's why Dr. Yaldo is back in action, and they were off just like so many people were, but they are back in business, and they want
I'm
to
glad.
Do business
yeah.
and get busy, 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 just like Dr. Roche, who has kept busy doing a lot of things. If you're a man facing divorce or custody issues, call Adam. For nearly 30 years, Adam has been helping men just like you protect your rights and get fair treatment in the court system you deserve. Don't take a chance with your future. Go with the best with Adam. knowledgeable, aggressive, experienced attorneys that you want, call Adam at 248-356-2326. That's 248-356-ADAM. And Trudy, what up with Dr. Roche?
Well, if you want to look like the AT&T girl and get badgered on social media about how big your boobs are, you could go to Dr. Roche because for the rest of August, and I'm not really sure, but I think into September, if you book it right away, you can take advantage of their saline breast implant special, which is $3,500 through August 31st. So you still have time to call them at 248-338-1110 for details. Or you can go in and do what I'm doing. I'm trying to tune things up. I'm not really going for the attention so much as I try to work out, and there's a little bit of stubborn, you know, sure, that won't go away. And Evolve is the answer to that. It's non-invasive. It trims, tightens, and tones. That is that it takes some of that, you know, fatty stuff that's under your skin and down to the muscle, and then tones the muscle up as well and tightens up your skin. It's freaking amazing, and I'm going in for the fourth treatment tomorrow. I'm actually getting abs. So
you're getting abs?
I'm pretty excited about that.
I want abs.
I'm getting abs.
I think I have abs under all this fat somewhere.
You can go in because, you know, guys are going in for Evolve too. It's one of those ways to cut through. If you can't exercise at all often at a certain age, you know, you really can't. So check it out. Also, they want you to know the CBDs, everything that they've got for all the muscle pain, for exercise recovery. All of those CBD products are 50% off throughout the end of August as well. So go and check it out. They do teleconsultations, which means that you can do it face-to-face or over the phone. But if you go over the phone or face-to-face for a teleconsultation, you could do it on your lunch hour and you're done. So
beautiful.
248-338-1110 or DRROCHE.com. I was just telling somebody today to go there and check out those procedures.
Put your best face and body forward, Dr. Gregory Roche.
Can I wish you guys happy Kobe Day? Do you know today's Kobe Day?
Oh, no,
Kobe.
Really?
Why is it Kobe Day?
Because it's 8:24.
Okay.
Oh.
But
the LA County
doesn't
actually
even come during basketball season normally.
No, I know, but LA County Kobe declared it Kobe Day. I think yesterday was his birthday.
Kobe.
Or would have been his birthday.
Shouldn't Kobe Day have his and the daughter's numbers in him? Does she get a day too?
She probably has her own day. What number was she?
12, maybe?
Did she have another number?
Or 8? I don't remember. I feel terrible.
Isn't that weird to think? Remember,
she
Kobe
only wore the number in like grade school competitions. So.
Remember Kobe died? Remember when he died this year?
Oh, my God. Yeah,
it was
yeah,
like the first really shitty thing, wasn't
really
it?
Really weird, yes.
Like Kobe died. Horrific accident.
And so then just this avalanche of shitty things that follow.
Happy Kobe Day. And Nike put out a new hour or
Kobe
minute and a half commercial honoring Kobe and Kobe Day. And okay, all the things he taught us. Ironically, nothing about the rape in there.
Okay. Well, I'm sure we can count on some journalists to tweet it out.
They're going to rebrand that.
No, you don't get they won't get canceled right away after they die. They get canceled a couple of years down the road. And then in about 15 years, we'll realize, why are we celebrating Kobe Bryant Day? He did this to a woman in Colorado. It's all in revisionist history.
His good always is bad.
Who was the was it not Jalen Rose? Somebody called out the Clippers guy. Who?
Oh, Jay Williams called out.
Jay Williams called out, yeah.
Harrell, yeah.
For calling.
And he should have.
Luka Doncic a bitch ass white boy. And playing on the court with Black Lives Matter on it. And social justice warrior, you know, these, you know, I can't breathe and all these things. And to call the guy a bitch ass white boy, I thought it was interesting that he even bothered to bring it up, but he not only brought it up, he really went deeply into it and said, you know, this is just, you know, so clueless. But
he's right.
That's
Jay Williams
is right. The thing is that there's so much of that, you know, just people like, you know, Antonio Brown. How many times he did it? Called, you know, people crackers. Which, you know, I don't even want to make, I feel stupid even saying it, but it's interesting that someone actually was bothered by this or someone felt that they should say something, which I thought was kind of nice, really, because it should be a two-way street. I mean, I'm not trying to extract anything or, you know, I'm not outraged or anything like that, but it's just that we see so many examples of, not just, I mean, certainly
well, the fact
was
that,
not what I was expecting when we were putting the N-word to bed, and then all of a sudden it's into every popular rap song all these times, and then white people can't sing it and all this goofiness. So there's this sort of shield, and I mean, black people can say the N-word. I mean, I would never deign to tell someone they can't, but it just seemed like a good idea to stop. Well, then that was derailed by the fact that the reclamation of the word. So, I mean, if nothing else, it would be nice to just try to, you know, stay with the script.
I just don't like the fact that it gets more covers than the amazing game that Doncic had.
Yeah, including the buzzer beater.
Fucking incredible game, man. Basketball's back.
Was that the 37-foot shot? Was it 37 feet? He looked like he's way beyond the three.
A step-back three-pointer. Third person in postseason history, I think, with 40, 15, and 10. 40 points, 15 rebounds, and 10 points.
Wow, that's a hell of a game.
Kobe.
He's phenomenal. No one knows who he is because he's some foreigner.
He's basically the second coming of what's the white dude for the Mavericks?
Dirk. I mean, everyone compares him to Dirk.
He's another white guy on the Mavericks.
That's but he's not even the same position. Trudy, you spacing out? he's smaller than Dirk.
Possibly.
Yeah, I can't tell you the last time I spent 20 seconds talking about the Mavericks.
When I was telling you about Trey Burke and Tim Hardaway Jr.
You know, honestly, I forgot that was the Mavericks
and Rick Carlisle.
Already. There were...
I'm fully on board. I'm a Mavs fan.
Brandon had a couple other things that were sports related. One of them was another Terry Foster post where
he used the word cracker, by the way. Are you offended?
I want to make a big deal about it, but
I know.
I just thought it was nice that the guy pointed out that it's kind of hypocritical with, you know, all this social justice stuff surrounding the NBA.
Yeah.
But
wait a minute though. Do you think maybe the hypocritical sort of the imbalance now is for all the years when no one like on the other side could really say anything?
What do you mean?
I mean that, you know, we're all, you know, like you're saying that you don't think it's right that, you know, punk-ass white boy.
I don't know. I could give you many, many more examples of people like Antonio Brown calling someone a cracker or a white. Somebody said white-ass something, and I forgot why people were so pissed. It was something of a public nature. And there's never any response to it. It's like, yeah, whatever, goes to the moon. And then a guy, we have the guy that mistyped a word. Who is he still suspended or he's not fired, I guess? You know, the guys that mispronounced Martin Luther King Day. I mean, people in blackface, whatever. And it is a big deal. I'm not saying it shouldn't be a big deal. And I don't even care when people say, I don't like sit around going, oh my God, I'm so hurt.
I will say
but
this.
But it would be nice. I would say if you're going to make a point that you should follow the point through, it just makes it a little more, it just cleans it up.
He did apologize for whatever that's
good.
Worth.
That's cool.
Harold in.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to cancel Rivers. Anybody.
No, I know. It's, you know, it's just the setting, too, doesn't really help.
No, it doesn't. But, you know.
And the fact
I don't want to go there.
And
but
the fact that he's being owned by Luca.
That's
he's
true.
Dominating.
But, the series is tied.
Again, you could compare.
Mavs all the way.
You could say, you know, you have an announcer who says he mistyped something, and it looks like he did.
Yeah, but
versus a guy who openly, you know, taunts a guy.
Who's really mad at that announcer besides
Twitter?
Well,
Folky's going to be fine. Yeah. I think we've seen six days without any news about it, which means it'll be fine. It'll go away. He'll come back, and we'll all forget about it.
I don't think anyone's mad at him, but he's been forced to twist in the wind, whereas in the other case, an apology is more than enough, which I think is okay. I just feel bad for this guy.
Well, once again,
I don't know what he thought.
If Charlotte was playing now, maybe it would be different, too.
I don't know. You mean as in having it be over
sooner? Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. Or maybe they feel they have to fire him. I don't know. Because they would be more in the news.
Fire him.
What's Terry Foster's blog? What is he upset about now? Because I found it strange that this is coming out later than, I mean, 4 years after, which, I mean, certainly it's his blog. He can say whatever he wants. And I'm interested in what Terry has to say.
He's been blogging a lot more, and I think that's in the article, too, about how that's what he wants to do, is to blog. And the whole theme of the article is about how he lost his you know, passion, I think he said, for doing radio.
Yeah, and he cites a couple specific examples that just kind of showed that he probably shouldn't have come back after that stroke. Most notably, an incident where he was called an Uncle Tom and didn't engage with that caller. And
he also realized, too, that he didn't care about the Lions not being to a Super Bowl. I didn't care about the Tigers losing streaks or bad draft picks by the Pistons. And that's not a good mentality if you're doing talk radio in Detroit, which I understand that. I
more than understand it.
And whenever they had show votes, it was always 3-1, everybody versus Terry.
So. Yeah, and he said he couldn't think as quick under stress after his stroke. So that's a tough situation.
Yeah, I didn't realize that there were these other things going on, you know, where people were not acting like friends would act and, you know, visit him when he was sick or call him or whatever. And I didn't understand why now, and I couldn't help but wonder if it was because Mike Valeni took on a real radio partner, and maybe that jogged something in Terry, but maybe it didn't. And I haven't heard any more of Rico with Mike lately. Have you guys listened at all?
I heard one podcast they put out about the unwritten rules of baseball.
How'd it sound?
Wonderful.
No, I just mean them working together.
It sounded a little forced.
That was what I thought.
I'm one person.
But new shows can often sound that way.
Yeah, I'm sure if Michigan State was playing and there was, you know, I really question how much they really care about the unwritten rules of baseball, because who really does care that much?
I can't imagine doing a podcast about that, to be honest, but oh well.
Well, that's the problem when
people
you're all
listen,
sports.
Who cares?
I don't know how you talk about things you don't care about. I don't get it.
I don't need to go down this path anymore. I mean, if he wonders if I can understand why he got sick of talking about sports on the radio, oh my God, I understand. There are so many days when there's nothing to talk about, just nothing. And so you manufacture topics, and all the manufactured topics have already been manufactured before.
Yeah.
So moving on to Jerry Falwell Jr., who had an interesting day today.
There's something I care about.
Not as interesting as some of the other days he had, such as when this pool boy was nailing his wife, and pool boy was 20 when they met him.
Is this not the perfect name for a Miami pool boy? Giancarlo Granda.
Pretty good.
Did you bang my wife?
Like straight out of Central Case.
So he says that Jerry Falwell liked to watch.
Yeah.
And Jerry says that, my wife had an affair. I didn't know anything about it. I was so upset. I lost 80 pounds. And no. It seems quite apparent. And this has been wondered about before, because Jerry and Becky Falwell met this guy a few years ago. Was it 2011 or 12?
March 2012, and he says, Becky and I developed an intimate relationship, and Jerry enjoyed watching from the corner of the room.
Yeah, gross for Jerry.
Yeah, I bet you he's beaten up.
and this guy has text messages, too, where Becky is jealous because she thinks he's with another girl. So which is weird. And Jerry's telling him, hey, fix that, buddy. I want to watch you nail her, and you're not going to nail her good if she's all jealous about this other chick.
The liaisons were frequent multiple times a year. He said encounters took place at hotels in Miami and New York and at the Falwell's home in Virginia.
Oh, they're all over the place.
Now, of course, the accusations going back to him that you're just trying to extort money, but they were in a business deal, and this guy claims that he wants to cash out of his business. He just wants to be
okay.
out of it.
Let's take a look at that, though. For some reason, because this came up a long time ago, because Jerry Falwell, and his records are public, he loaned / gave this guy $1.8 million. Well, why is he giving this guy $1.8 million? Oh, he's got a business transaction going on in Miami.
Yeah, he offered him a share in this hostel in Miami and said the reason he was doing it was because he was going to be the manager of the youth hostel.
Well, that's the story they tell. But the real story is that this thing sort of came out of nowhere, and this was, I guess, pool boy's dream to have this gay-friendly hostel. And gay-friendly was something that didn't quite go along with Jerry Falwell's history.
Yeah,
it's and it was an awful lot of money to, you know, give this person who had never been in a business before. So something seemed a little odd about it. Mm-hmm. Then when I think when he says that he was having a hard time negotiating with Jerry, well, the pool boy didn't put in anything.
Did you bang my wife?
What does he have to stand on other than letting the world know he's banging Jerry Falwell's
wife? He didn't put any money in?
I don't think so. I thought it was all Jerry Falwell's money.
Does he have a percentage of ownership?
Well, he probably did, but it sounded to me like he was pressuring Falwell to sell his share, to sell out.
Well, if it's
and
his
Falwell
share,
was not exactly in the same place. I don't know if he didn't want to sell his share or what it was, but if,
let's just call it sweat equity for banging his wife. Why can't he get his share out?
No, he wanted Jerry to sell his share. He wanted Jerry out.
Oh. Why didn't just buy him out?
Well, I mean, you don't. I don't think necessarily that you have to sell your part just because somebody wants you to.
No, I know, but if he owns a percentage of the business of the hostel, why can't he cash out when he wants to cash out? That's what I didn't understand.
Well,
why is it being classified as extortion? He either owned a percentage.
I don't think
is he
being prosecuted for it, or are they charging him?
No, but that's Falwell keeps claiming that he's trying to extort money out of him.
Well,
did you bang my wife?
He more or less admitted that when negotiations weren't going his way, and if Jerry Falwell put $1.8 million in, I really doubt this guy put in anything close to what Jerry Falwell put in, and I think
have you seen his wife?
There was a motive. Got Jerry's wife, too.
I was going to say, is that the first thing everyone did was Google
Becky Falwell?
Yeah,
she's not bad looking.
She's okay. I don't know if she's pool boy's first choice, but
I agree with my wife.
Anyway, when Jerry was recalcitrant in making a deal to sell his share, this guy mentioned the fact that, maybe people could just have to find out about what's going on with Becky. And that's when Falwell realized that this is going to be a problem. So he manufactured the story about, it's crazy. Becky had an affair with this guy. And I lost 80 pounds.
Reuters, I know what the 80 pounds. Reuters contacted him for comment.
I lost 80 pounds beating off watching.
Here's my favorite part of the Reuters story. The material, Giancarlo Granda showed Reuters, because he gave him all this material to prove it, includes screenshots from what Granda said was a FaceTime conversation he had with the Falwells in 2019. During that call, Becky was naked as the two discussed the relationship.
Hot!
While Jerry peeked from behind a door. I so want to see that screenshot, just his head going, what are you doing here?
Well, she sounds kind of wild.
Oh, hell yeah. Good for her, man.
Because I thought it was odd.
It's not illegal. It just happens to go against everything they preach and charge people money to learn. Yeah, it goes against the Liberty University's honor code.
Well, plus they were, doing a lot of this activity in Miami. And Falwell was going down to Miami a lot. And it was like, why is he spending so much time in Miami, sitting out in the sun and, goofing off, supposedly. Well, he's got this interest in this gay-friendly hostel. And then all of a sudden, this guy's going to Virginia. He's going here, there. And it's like, what's up with all the traveling around? Is it Jerry wanted to see what his penis looked like going into his wife in another state? Or
Hey, didn't Baker...
I've never seen him go in there in Virginia.
Didn't Baker get in trouble down in Florida hooking up with some dude in a hotel?
Baker was Jessica Hahn.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No, this has a real familiar scent to it.
Yeah.
And remember, Falwell was doing, or not Falwell, but Swags was in all that creepy stuff.
Nah,
a hole in the sweatpants.
That's just time
to
management.
Fish it out.
That's time management.
He had the skanky magazines under the seat, which I guess when he put the brake on, the magazines all come sliding out.
Oh, my God.
How'd this wee magazine get in here?
Why are they all so horrible?
What is Jugs doing here? Look at this.
Why? It's because it's hypocritical is what it is, Trudy.
I know, but I don't understand how they get to be where they are in the first place. How people can be so misled. Well, they're religious grifters.
Mm-hmm. I have to tell you, I've become
against
televangelism in general. To me, it just violates everything that is good about the neighborhood church, and the excuse for it or the reason they say is, well, this is so we can get the message to people that normally couldn't see it. It's like, is it really that hard to get to a church?
No.
Mm-mm. Or to see a service online? It doesn't seem to me it's that hard at all.
Nope. Or to read the Bible unless you're Drew.
If I flew commercial, I'd have to stop 65% of what I'm doing.
Look at what all this power and money does to these people. Jim Baker steals all this money, gets back on TV, and he's scamming again, selling these survival kits, promising Armageddon.
Hey, I
can't believe they let him do that.
Didn't they stop him?
Yeah, they did.
They were trying. They were talking about it. But look how he was doing it for years. He went to prison for this. And then who else? Oh, Swags with his crap. Mm-hmm. What was her? What was that girl's name? She reenacted her his favorite poses in Playboy, I believe. Deborah Murphy.
Wow.
It was Deborah Murphy. That's her, and she wasn't very attractive, but Swags liked banging her. And
what about Rosemary Garcia? He banged her too.
That's another one.
I have sinned against you, my Lord.
I love that face.
I know.
A terrible crying face.
And the sweat. And
remember that other guy in the front row was crying too?
So yeah,
the
bad.
The guy
yeah.
in the wheelchair. And it was accepted. Oh, he sinned, but he's not going to do it anymore.
Yeah, starting now.
I mean, no. I would think that would. The fact that you're demanding so much money all the time, because that just churns money. Oral Roberts, God will call me home if I don't get $10 million by this date. Remember that one?
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, 2020 did a great story on the. Who was it? Where the guy who they were literally going through all the mail, and they would open it up. Yeah. If there's a check, they would take the check and throw the card out. And if there was no check, they would just throw the card out. No one read the cards. It was really pretty pathetic.
Swigert still is his ministry.
Yeah, I didn't. I thought he did.
Yeah, it's on YouTube. Here's a clip.
Who's
yeah.
the King of Kings?
Jesus.
Before Abraham was who?
Jesus.
Devil hear this, who do I have on my side?
Jesus.
Who's the lily of the valley?
Jesus.
Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, who is by my side?
Jesus.
Come on and say, Jesus, beloved.
Jesus.
If I wake up in hell in the morning, who do I look up to?
Jesus.
Shout it loud and say, Jesus.
Jesus.
I can't hear you.
Jesus.
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 What a serious, what a sermon, man. But,
Jesus Christ, yo.
Jerry Falwell also, if you remember when COVID first started, it was first blowing up. He said, come on back to school.
COVID-19.
The Liberty University students had been home on break, and he said, oh, no, come on back.
Yep.
We're okay. Yep. And within days, of course, people had it at the school, and I don't even remember what they did. But, I mean, he clearly, it was about the money. It had to be about the money. What else would it be about?
It's always about the money.
Well, it is. With televangelists, it's always about the money.
Didn't we speak to somebody at Liberty University about that very thing?
Yeah,
and I wonder if they'd say have any comment about this.
She's very nice.
Yeah,
It kind of goes. You know who their head football coach is at Liberty, right?
Who's their name?
Hugh Freeze.
Oh,
who got blown out of Mississippi because he was using his university appointed cell phone to call up escort services while on the road.
Yep.
So maybe that's why they got along so well. And my favorite Hugh Freeze moment is. Remember he was coaching from the bed?
I know, that was so silly.
Nice school.
Oh, this world just spins round and round and round with all this madness. But
there's no way to stop it.
Nope, there's no way to stop it.
There's no way to stop it.
Well, it's the big summer event you've all been waiting for, and our original and studio sponsor, Zot Ford in Holly and DealsInAD.com have kicked off. Unlike the Big Ten, their summer sales event. That means you'll get deals as hot as the midsummer days and Brandon's meal delivered during each podcast. Has it been delivered yet?
Not yet.
Plus, our friends at Zot Ford have considerably more inventory to choose from than most dealers. So finding the new whip of your dreams is never a problem. Zot Ford has eight new 2020 Ford car trucks and SUVs you can lease below $200 a month. They have Ford Fusions, Mustangs, EcoSports, all-wheel drive Escapes, Edges, Explorers, and don't forget the Super Crew 4x4, F-150s, and all-new Ford Rangers, each under $200 a month. And believe it or not, many listeners who originally leased from Zot in the early days of the podcast are due for their next lease or their third lease. In the case of super listener John Tucker. So regardless if you leased your last ride from Zot or not, get to DealsInAD.com. Find some good looks. Contact Gabara, Anthony, or any of the hottest sales staff in Oakland County at Zot Ford in Holly. And DealsInAD.com. COVID-19. So I saw it was move-in day at University of Michigan. They had a big story on Channel 4.
Did you see the picture going around on Twitter of the sorority or fraternity?
No.
Oh,
party,
man.
Party?
You can't eat ass with a mask on. There was a sign hanging outside of it.
Oh, how nice. Where was that?
Let me see if I can find it. It's on campus.
I mean, in Michigan?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. I don't know if it's a fraternity or sorority because I don't know the difference between the two based on the names. But yeah. So, cool.
So, was it a busy move-in or a lot of people not moving in?
You know what? I don't know. I haven't seen it. I haven't seen any of the coverage of it.
I did read this really threatening post from some higher up at Virginia Tech saying that if you do this, you know, have a party with 100 people, or if you do that, and you know how strictly it will be enforced. And I'm intrigued to see how well that works out, because I don't know why you'd want to be on a college campus if you can't get together with 10 people, well, or 25 people. What's the point of being there? You're taking online classes anyway, except that you're paying more money.
Why do they have the right to tell you what to do off campus? I mean,
they don't.
No, I know, but they can suspend you?
I know it's a lot Central Michigan good questions here.
Central Michigan's numbers are going way up, too.
Alabama,
you know, it's funny because remember we were talking about Notre Dame and they said, hey, it was like a 1% positivity rate when they did all the COVID tests before people returned and then it shot up right away. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Same thing's happening at Alabama. It was less than 1%. Now that everyone's back on campus, the positivity rate's, I think, up to 27%. This is a big problem, man.
Well, dorms are not a good place for anyone with this virus.
Yeah, but well.
Yeah, got to count the cash, right?
Got to make the money.
Mm-hmm. The colleges are really in the same position as many, many other businesses. If you lose money that you can't get back, which, you know, if you're in generally any kind of business, if you're shut down, that's not income that's going to come later. It's just income that's lost for that period. And the colleges, you can't get that semester back.
Except they're public universities, except for Notre Dame, but they're public universities.
What do you mean?
Yeah.
Well,
we pay for them.
Theoretically, could get money from the states.
Yeah, theoretically they could.
And they also have.
They probably like their independence.
But they also have major endowments too. They could tap into.
So of course they do. No, I have no sympathy for colleges and all their problems.
They're doing the wrong thing. I just think it's the wrong thing.
And also canceling classes. I mean, to pretend that the problem is these well spaced out classes. No, it's the partying. It's the social element. That's the problem.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So what's the point of canceling classes?
To make it look like they're doing something.
I know, exactly. So now you're on a campus. You're not supposed to go anywhere. You're taking all online classes. So you're just really paying for a college experience without the college experience.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much.
Does that make sense?
EMU moved their move-in back 3 weeks. And I think it has something to do with they said it's a better time in 3 weeks. I don't know what happens in 3 weeks. Personally, I don't know. I mean,
it'll magically disappear.
And CMU had the 40 cases out of the blue. But as far as the state goes, Michigan had 870 some cases and 6 deaths today. The USA had 346. I think there were a couple states that hadn't counted yet, and Sunday they had 430. So, what's the total?
The 7 week rolling average is below 1,000 deaths now. Finally, so that's good.
What's the cases per day? Is that what's that number now? Approximately?
No idea.
I mean, can you read the graph though and see where the latest sticks are?
Sure.
Because we were up to 78,000 cases at one time. I mean, after the first wave, our second wave was substantially bigger.
What do you want to know? Total cases?
Yeah,
cases
total cases for the last couple days.
Oh, that's.
I mean, is it.
Okay, cases in the last
20,000, 25,000.
Last 7 days here in Michigan or where?
In the country. I was just trying to compare. I mean, we got up to 70, almost 80,000 cases at one point, but the curve is it's moving down, but it seemed like it kind of had stalled out around 45 or 40. You can't see it?
No, I'm looking at the.
Let me get
45.
I'll get my worldometer.
I mean, this is the CDC. I don't know why they won't tally it up, but I can do it by state.
Oh, here. Don't you have the you don't go on the worldometer? You guys do you guys go on worldometer?
No.
They've got the state by state. They show you the numbers, and then they show you the graph, total cases. And then they have those sticks for how many cases, this thing? This.
Yeah. Is it linear or logarithmic?
It's linear. So the last stick, garbage. The last stick is about 32,000. So it's, you know, it's less than half of what it was in early July. I mean, it's better. Now, let's see. 3 days ago, it was 45,000. So that, I mean, we'll see.
Are those back?
45.
But the graph is, you know, it is going in a downward trend. So maybe that's what Eastern Michigan's looking at. I don't know. Tired as stupid pandemic.
Well, now we have the contact tracing going back to Sturgis from three different states.
Oh boy!
Yeah, what have they found? That can't be good.
Just health officials in three different states have been able to trace COVID cases back to the motorcycle rally, which I don't think is a terrible surprise.
When you say cases, how many cases?
Let me see the story. Where's it at?
A lot of it was transported back to those states in someone's beard.
At least 15. There is a new motorcycle rally in New Hampshire, and I saw pictures of it.
Oh, nice.
Everybody had masks on, though, Trudy.
Really?
In New Hampshire, yeah. It was like a Hell's Angel rally, too, and they all had masks on, so.
Aw, it's the nice Hell's Angels.
Sure. It's just kind of.
We had 500,000 people in Sturgis?
Yeah, a little less than, I think, total vehicles is how they count them.
Oh. I mean, it was a bigger crowd than they thought.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, because nothing else is going on. What were you going to say, Brandon? I saw you trying to talk. And you're muted, I guess. Or your mic's just not working. Poor Brandon. Oh, he just threw his pen up in the air. Oh, he just pushed his microphone away.
Wait,
he's mad. He said he's out.
Is it the microphone?
He said it's broken. Yeah, look, he's hitting his microphone.
Wait, that's a new microphone, isn't it?
I don't know what's broken on it. Is it? Okay, nod yes. Is it your Focusrite? Is it your mixer? Is it your pooter? It is? Zoom in on your phone then. Let's see what that sounds like. That'll be fun. Poor Brandon. Brandon needs a hug.
So it is the microphone?
No, he thinks his sound card on his computer is trashed.
Oh, boy. I'm sorry,
dude.
Because it was going up and down.
If it isn't one thing, it's another.
We'll figure it out. We'll be all right. Let me see a smile. Come on now.
Now, if you're bikini...
He wants us to move on.
I cannot hear the word bikini without hearing that guy.
Jim South?
That guy.
Yeah, Jim South. He was very friendly. That reminds me, Mr. Skin will be with us on Wednesday.
Yeah.
The 26th, because there's a movie out called Skin.
Yeah.
And it is a history of nudity in movies.
One that you said does not have enough nudity in the movie.
Well... I was just watching that clip you were watching, and it was too many blowhards, not enough nudity. But, you know, if you sit there and watch the movie, there is a lot of nudity as the movie goes on.
It's really good.
Because, you know, they get into... I thought the early stuff was interesting, too, because who knows how they handled this in the 40s and 30s and 50s. And
even before.
They came up with these nudie movies, as they called them. And they introduced monsters chasing around nude girls because that sort of qualified as a plot.
Mm-hmm.
And that would get nude people on the screen for them.
I love that.
And then the immortal Mr. Tease, the plot was a guy got a shot of Novocaine at the dentist and he suddenly could see through women's clothes.
Yeah.
So that's how they got the nude women into that plot.
Based on a true story.
And then they had a Peeping Tom who happened to kill women, so he got to see them nude before he killed them. That was 1960.
They also, even before that, in the 30s, like Tarzan, they would have nudity back then. And
yeah, because they were essentially nudists.
Yeah, they're in the jungle. They're in the jungle, so they're nude.
Wait, the Tarzan series?
I guess there's some Tarzan movies.
Old.
Yeah, like in Tarzan. The 30s.
Yeah, and they would show her ass when they were swimming underwater.
Yeah.
Hey! And people would go bonkers over that. I mean, it is funny to think about the first time you saw movie nudity, it could be just a tiny glimpse of like, oh my God! I mean, people really got excited about that.
In fact, you don't know about looking at television. Oh my God, you guys can hear me. Looking at televisions as they're getting really fuzzy, but you might be able to see nipple there. You might be able to see. I think that's right there.
Squiggle vision, we called that.
My brother figured out if you put the TV, because I think with the cable box, the TV used to be have to be on channel 3 to get the signal from the box. Uh-huh. But if you put it on channel 4 and put it to this different channel on the cable box, you could see stuff.
Like basically like get around the squiggly paint. Playboy channel?
Yes. No, but it was pretty crystal clear.
Well,
no kidding.
Yeah. And yes, it's the same one that charged me for great cable. Hack. He should have gone into the cable business.
Yeah, he did have some great ideas, including those revenue producing ideas. The Marilyn Monroe nude scene, which was going to be in Something's Gotta Give, but she was fired because she was late all the time. She's a pain in the ass. But the scene survived, and she was going to be nude. So that was a big deal. But Jane Mansfield did get topless in her movie in 63. Did you see the Jane Mansfield scenes, by the way?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I've always heard of her and how hot she was. She's so weird when she's topless. She's squirming. And I thought those scenes were, I don't know, they weren't doing it for me.
Well, is Marilyn that hot, in your opinion?
Yeah, Marilyn was beautiful. Okay. I mean, she's not the end all. She looked great on screen. I mean, she was just beautiful.
Yeah. I just feel like those. Who's the third one? There's main. Isn't there another one that's very similar? They're all interchangeable.
From Marilyn, Jane, and
another one in the documentary.
Bridget Bardot.
No, I don't know who it was, but I felt like they're all basically the same.
Was the one who got beheaded?
Oh, maybe Van Doren.
Yeah,
that's Mansfield, isn't it?
Yeah. No, Mamie Van Doren.
Yeah, Mansfield did get beheaded in a car accident.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mamie Van Doren, who by the way, is nude in 1964 in a movie called Three Nuts in Search of a Bolt. And you know, she's got a hell of a body and all that. But then when they're interviewing them now, and she's like 80 years old, it's sort of weird. Isn't it strange? Because they had a lot of actresses that were nude in the 60s and 70s. It's like, they just, you know, they're really getting up there. It just seemed kind of weird.
Next thing you know, he's on top of me in the shed, pumping and sweating.
Well, at least they'll always have the hottest version of themselves on film, just like Farrah.
Yes. they showed Blow Up in 1966. Is that the movie the Yardbirds are in? Isn't that the movie?
Oh, but they're not Yardbirds, the nude scene. Are they? Right?
They're playing Train Kept a Rollin'.
Yeah, we watched it.
Yeah, and he breaks his guitar.
Yeah.
But Paige is in the movie. That's anyway, right. In Blow Up, they had the first pubes in, and it's just a background glimpse. You can barely see it. Jane Birkin's, like, the top of her bush is visible.
It's disgusting. It was around her belly button, too.
And a lot of those movies, it was.
It was gross.
A lot of those movies, which had really almost nothing in terms of nudity in them, got protesters.
I know, which helped.
They called her Jane Merkin.
But yeah, that actually helped the movies when they got protests too.
Was the frontal dude nudity anytime?
It was coming.
I think in Tarzan didn't they show his dong swimming?
I don't know if they showed his dong.
Am I confusing that with
he had it? You know what? He had like a Speedo on when they were in the water, and she was nude. I know. It's like, where do you get the Speedo?
Maybe I'm confusing it with the what's the one movie where they're on an island? Brooke Shields is really young.
Blue Lagoon.
Yeah, Blue Lagoon. Isn't his dong in that when he's swimming?
Really?
Did they show a clip of that? I don't recall. I remember she was nude.
I guess Mr. Skin would know. What is the first frontal male nudity in sort of mainstream, not porn films?
I got the impression it was Malcolm McDowell.
Really?
Because
that's that one part we played. Yeah,
it was. He was certainly was a well known actor. They did make big deal about Richard Gere, though, in American Gigolo, because he showed his dong.
Really?
Yeah.
Gross.
In fact, they showed it in Skin, the movie Skin. But one of the things that I hated in this thing was Peter Bogdanovich, who I think is the biggest creep. He's so creepy. First of all, he's making The Last Picture Show, and these distributors are weird. They'd be like, you know, we want three sets of tits at least, and, you know, and whatever. They'd make these demands, and so people would have to promise, people like Russ Meyer and Roger Corman, they'd go, oh, yeah, we'll have three sets of tits easy, and they'd end up having eight sets. But when they were green lighting the last picture show, one of the important things they wanted was Cybill Shepherd topless. Like, oh, she's got to be topless or we're not green lighting. So Bogdanovich said, we'll do our best we can. And he sort of promised them, but didn't exactly promise. But then when they started making the movie, he started nailing her. Wow. And he said she had become kind of a lover of mine, and so at that point I wasn't sure I wanted everyone to see her.
How much older was he? 80?
Oh, she was like 20 years older than her. I hate that guy. And then he gets so into creepy. Dorothy Stratton,
yeah.
gets her killed.
Yeah.
Got her killed by Eric Roberts or Paul Snyder. And then he nails her sister.
I think that's pretty creepy.
And then they had the category of women who got breast implants to play a certain role. And they said that Mariel Hemingway got breast implants to play Dorothy Stratton.
Really?
But she said, I was getting them anyway.
Oh, okay. Well, that doesn't count.
So, I don't know. And the other one was Demi Moore got them to play the stripper.
Oh, was that striptease?
God, yeah, which so that movie stupid. Looks so stupid to me.
So dumb. There's no showgirls, I'll tell you that much.
I did
he
remember.
Just wanted those to get Ashton Kutcher is what she really wanted those for.
In answering your question, Trudy, I ran across this gem. The Italian film 1900, done in 1976, includes an explicit scene of the actors. Get these two actors, by the way. Robert De Niro and Gerard Depardieu, who are shown on either side of this actress, Stefania Cassini, as their penises are briefly fondled and masturbated by her. Another scene features two prepubescent boys undressing who are shown fully naked. What kind of movies are you doing, De Niro?
The hell is that?
Well, De Niro was also in the first Rated X movie, as we learned last week.
Yeah, he's a peeping Tom.
Yeah.
You know what was weird about that Star 80 movie was I forgot that Hef was played by Hef, Cliff Robertson. It was such a funny Hef.
That's great casting.
It wasn't bad. And that little segment with Linda Blair, you know, from The Exorcist, because she played like three female prison movies, and so she was massively nude in those movies. Because that they would always say if it was a prison, like a female prison movie, it's like, look, we got to have a shower scene with you know at least 10 women in the shower, and they would always get it too. Canned Heat, and Linda Blair had a reaction, major reaction.
Really?
Yeah. And let's see, we'll talk about Tracy Lords, did these movies. And, like, in a matter of 24 hours, none of the movies were available because she was under 18. And I guess no one knew it. Did you see Tracy Lords interviewed?
I haven't made it that far, no.
She seems very strange to me. I think she thinks she's a lot more important than she is, possibly. And they also interviewed Sean Young. Because she's in that couple scenes from No Way Out with Costner.
Yeah.
And
Was that Sean Penn's girl? Did she date Penn?
Sean Young?
Yeah. Am I thinking of a different one?
No. She dated James Woods, didn't she?
Yeah, she was a psycho for James Woods.
Yeah, she was stalked James Woods.
Really?
And I believe she got busted for shoplifting a couple years ago. I think she's fallen on pretty hard times, but she looked pretty good.
Isn't she Ray Finkel?
Yeah, that's who I was thinking of.
Finkel and Einhorn. That's the
same
that's
person,
her, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Finkel is Einhorn. Yeah. Einhorn is Finkel. Say hello to Mr. What's he say? Say hello
Mr. Winky. Mr. And they're both Sean Young. Yeah, the cop.
Such a great movie. And then Marino throws up, and then the rest of the dolphins throw up.
Exactly.
He said, I want to watch Ace Ventura again.
Hey, they
it doesn't
of course,
hold up.
It does not, or does?
I don't think so. It's played out.
Played out?
I think so. I think it is.
That almost needs to be a Twitter poll. Is Ace Ventura played out? Do you think it's played out?
The humor does not hold up.
Do you think it's played out?
It's funny. Some Jim Carrey movies do hold up, and that one, I would need to watch it, but I am inclined to agree.
What? Brandon?
Oh, yeah.
Is it played out?
It's got a special place in my heart, including the sequel. I love Ace Ventura.
I think he has much funnier movies since then that I'd rather see
Cable
over
guy?
Again, like Me, Myself, and Irene.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't make Ace Ventura.
I think I would watch. I'd probably watch Ace Ventura if it was on.
I'm doing a Twitter
poll. Okay.
Among the discussions was Titanic, because Titanic was such a big movie, and the fact that Kate Winslet was topless.
Oh, yeah.
And they were talking about that, and I was thinking to myself, the premise was just so stupid. Why would she be nude to be sketched by him when she hadn't even been naked with him yet, right?
She's that kind of trollop.
I mean, was that premise questioned at the time? I hope it was.
I just like the fact that it's the same old bag at the end of the movie. It's like,
we know what you did.
Oh, yeah. This song was great.
Whoa. You know, it was nude a lot more than I thought, because they had a little scene of, was it the Crying Game?
Yeah, I never saw it because you guys ruined it.
Well, that movie was so ridiculous.
Just kidding. I have no desire to see it.
But anyway, they got down. I don't know if was Uma Thurman in the Crying Game. Maybe it was something around that time. Anyway, Uma Thurman, she was nude in a lot of movies. I kind of totally missed that.
Yeah, because Weinstein made her nude.
Yeah, and then when she didn't cooperate, he just got rid of her, because she ends around 2000, doesn't she?
Yeah.
Man, how weird.
It's weird.
And Mr. Skin was in the movie, and he's in the movie not a ton, but he's in it plenty, and he financed it, too. Mm. The movie's called Skin, and oh, I know what. They had that scene in SOB where Julie Andrews, Mary Poppins, pops her top.
Yeah.
All right.
She had a nice rack.
Mary Poppins.
Yeah, and she wasn't all that young, but she looked pretty good.
Oh,
and then right after that, they had this discussion about Xaviera Hollander, the happy hooker. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember those movies, but I guess there were three or four of them. Like, the happy hooker goes to, you know, Washington or whatever. Anyway, Adam West was in one of those.
Really?
Yes, and he's nude.
What?
No. With a happy hooker.
What?
It's really strange.
Does he have a good bod?
Yeah, is he keeping his body pretty tight?
He was in good shape. He was smoking a cigarette, which also looked weird, and I don't think he smokes, because he didn't look like he smokes, but he was smoking.
Because in Batman, he had like a dad bod, and his suit was baggy as all hell.
He looked like he was in pretty decent shape, but then there was a sex scene in a hot tub with Xaviera Hollander, or no, whoever's playing her, and it just looked so awkward. It was like, wait, Batman doesn't know what he's doing. What the hell is this? Or either that, or they thought it was some crazy kind of sex.
I can't believe I'm going to Google Adam West nude.
Well, they don't show anything.
Oh,
I see it.
Oh, I thought he was nude.
But no, he was nude. They said, but he's covered because she's sitting.
Oh, God, don't Google Adam West nude.
Why? What happens?
I'm Googling it now.
No, don't. Well, you can.
Okay.
Apparently,
the Julie Andrews Google ones, like, it looks like she was nude recently.
Julie, what? Really?
No, I don't know what's going on. Just Google it.
All right, I'm gonna go on Skin.
I'll do it right here.
I'm still Googling Adam West nude.
No, don't do it. Don't hit images if you do it. Do not do it.
What? Oh man, that's not him.
No, it's not him. I told you not to Google it.
You didn't tell me it was another guy nude.
And there must be
pounding off.
Must be a gay porn star named Adam West.
Probably is.
Well, yeah. Don't forget, Dale DeBone did play Batman in the XXX porn.
He also dated Jennifer Capriati.
Okay.
All right. I noticed about guys.
I think they rehearsed the song enough.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
The Adam West nude naked gallery is the guys who are posing nude with their hands there are always looking, their faces are doing stupid stuff.
I don't know what you're talking about. I closed it too quick.
Yeah, yes.
These faces are so dumb.
Yeah, there's one guy who looks like he's going to kick someone's ass as soon as he gets done beating off.
Oh, what?
The guy in the bottom right.
Do you think after he blows up, he's not going
to be... Knock it off, I'll kick your fucking ass once I stop pounding this thing.
Yeah, but if he finishes, he's not going to be as mad anymore, is he?
I don't know.
When the room comes back to him.
He looks pretty mad right now.
Yeah, at his penis.
I don't know, how mad can you be and have a boner?
That's a great question. I'm sure if everything else is right, you can be pretty angry and still get one.
The angriest boners in history.
Jimmy Swagger. You know what else they had in the movie Skin, which is available virtually anywhere? I think I did a search for it, and it just popped up.
Yeah, it's on demand.
They had a scene. This is so weird. don't know if you got this far into the movie. It's two, and of course, there's only one thing you think about when you hear about this. Two nude guys fighting.
Yeah,
two
that's...
Two guys fighting.
Yeah.
And they end up getting excited by it and getting it on.
Is that the one where they said, though, that it was implied? Like, there was a cut?
Yeah.
Yeah, but we know, I mean, everyone knows. Yeah, that was like in the 40s or 50s, wasn't it?
Yeah, but when they're fighting, it just looks so bizarre. And all I could think of was the Mike Clark had a much... Mike Clark's nude fight. That's ended. A much different outcome because one of the guys got hard. And everyone was appalled and just left in disgust.
It is available at Amazon Prime Video, Fandango Now, iTunes, and Vudu, according to his website.
Wow, is that already? Julie Andrews nude there?
Oh.
Is that really?
That's an SOB. Like, that's the one. Wait, what's in the bottom of the screen, though? Yeah, that's her. She looks good there. But what's... Is that the only one you saw, Brandon?
Well, I just...
Those hills are alive.
Early in her career, that's for sure.
That's 1980, I think.
Whoa, that's not her. That one you're pointing at.
That spread eagle one? I don't know. Whoa. Looks like her face. Looks like her face, Judy.
Is that her?
I don't know.
She was nude in 86 as well.
What movie? Wow.
Duet for One. So SOB was 81. Nude. How old was she in 86? Here it is.
Is Julie Andrews alive?
Yes.
Oh, there's her boobs. Skin writes, "The bed is alive with Julie's boobs. She stretches and shows them off, and then we get a glimpse of the glutes when she rolls over." Get out of here, dude. Hey, that's Lee, what's his name?
The guy that he wanted to kill a black person.
He was in Taken. Why can I not think of
Liam Neeson?
Liam Neeson. Yeah. Thank you.
He's also got a big wiener.
He's a well-known homosexual actor.
And he remember he wanted to kill a black person?
A well-known homosexual actor.
There he is.
I've contracted AIDS.
Does anyone...
As I said before, I've got full-blown AIDS.
Has everyone forgotten that he wanted to kill a black person?
His black bastard story, yeah. That he totally made up.
To sell a movie.
So stupid.
And it boomeranged on him.
He hasn't been canceled, has he?
No, I don't think so.
Really. There you go.
Yeah.
Someone who wasn't canceled.
Okay, so...
Ooh, I'm winning 55-45.
What?
Ace Ventura. Played out.
I better go vote.
Yeah, I better vote, too.
So, Brandon, what's the adventure with the microphone today?
You know, I've been having some incredible sound card issues on my laptop, so I probably have to take this sucker apart. I apologize for all the crap in the last. It bit me in the ass with No Filter too, which has a brand new episode.
Who'd they have on today?
Special guest Dexter Bussey.
Oh, really?
Dexter Bussey? Really?
Cool. Yeah. And I think on Thursday. Thursday we got the Grim Reaper, Stu Grimson, the enforcer for the Red Wings for a while there, and I know Denny's been working on a couple other things like his best friend Mickey Lolich. That probably won't happen, but Cecil Fielder, and so we're trying to get it taken care of, and we're having a lot of fun. But this morning, oh my God, did my technology take a dump on me?
Well, Zoom had an outage across America, and everyone lost their shit.
Yeah. Well, it's the first day back for a lot of kids learning, and they're using Zoom. So.
Well, that's going to go well.
Yeah. I have to wonder how many people are going to go to an office after this is over. Because it's so easy to have a meeting.
I said that in the beginning. I felt like commercial real estate is going to be it's going to take a huge hit from all this.
Well, the guy from Redfin, which is a realty site, they did a survey with their employees and asked
the guy I know,
and only 15% wanted to come back. But you got to remember, I think the businesses want a little bit of control and want people coming in and working at least every once in a while.
Yeah, maybe that they don't
more freedom.
Come in 5 days a week.
Sure,
but that would.
But
if people only came in half the time, you need a place half as big.
Yeah, I don't understand these people that want to work from home. Have you guys had to call any place and then you like? It happened to me with Amazon where I call and the person working on the problem I had, you could hear all his kids in the background because he's working from home.
Yeah. Oh. Dog barking in the background.
That could become very common.
You think so?
Yeah, kind of. It's
really unprofessional.
I mean, yeah, but look at all the boiler rooms we've been dealing with. You know, if people in other countries.
Sucks. It's distracting.
I know. I'm not crazy about it either.
I want those people back in the boiler room.
Are you saying women and children are a distraction?
Yes.
Are you saying that, Mike Milbury? Are you saying that?
And men are a distraction, too. And cats. And dogs.
Dogs.
By the way, I still cannot believe Mike Milbury was just fired for that comment.
Yeah, it must have been a string of things.
I don't know.
You know, Jeremy Roenick just gotten busted not too long ago with that whole scandal.
Well, that was a little different.
And plus, he's always popping off. Everybody's always mad at Mike Milbury, not just for being the worst GM in the history of any sport, possibly ever, but also because, you know, he's popped off, like Mark had mentioned, against Tuukka Rask. He had popped off against P.K. Subban for having
fun. But why don't they
fire
him for doing that if they don't like that? I mean, the comment he made was... It's just so innocuous.
And this is a guy that once beat a fan with his own shoe in the stands while he was playing for the Boston Bruins.
So that was okay, but this isn't.
Yeah, this guy's a blowhard. Screw him. I don't like him.
Yeah, I don't really know much about him. So if everybody's happy that he's gone, then I'll be along with the crowd because I'm not familiar with his work.
He's got really weird hair, too. It's feathered and it's parted down the middle. It's no.
That's a cheap shot.
Yeah, his hair is more played out than Ace Ventura.
That's going to be the next question.
Oh, you know what I forgot to mention about the skin movie was there's a scene with Gooch.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Bob Gooch. Because they spend some time on Caligula.
Well, that was
one kinky movie, man.
Did I ever tell you they showed us that movie in college?
What?
Yeah.
For what?
It was, don't make fun of me for taking this class, Roman Art and Architecture. And for some reason, that was germane to what we were studying. All I got out of it was that it was a penthouse movie with tons of nudity, and they were showing it to us in the classroom.
Yeah, I would think that's got to be the most nude movie ever.
I think it is. One of them. It's got, yeah.
There's and so many people nude.
Helen Mirren's nude in it.
Bloop. Yes.
It's your bush.
As is Malcolm McDowell. But anyway, they showed Gooch at his desk, you know, with his shirt unbuttoned, like down to the belly button with these giant gold chains, and he was just a weird guy. He really was.
He's good.
Gooch! And right around that time was the movie 10, and they spent a little time on that because Bo Derek was such a thing.
Yeah.
And
her cultural appropriated hair.
Yes.
Although no one cared. That's what happens every time you go to Mexico.
I know.
No one cared at the time.
Of course, and no one cares now.
I really thought Dudley Moore was... Really, I mean, that was his movie. Bo Derek was the object, of course, and she was the perfect 10. But remember when he finally ends up with Bo Derek?
Yeah, he didn't like her then, right?
Well, no, because he's in bed with her, and she's like, I don't like this song. Put another song. I mean, she was just a real pain in the ass.
Be careful what you wish for.
We used to have John Derek on the show. John Derek was quite something because he had... Who were his three wives? Bo Derek, who was way younger than him. And
who's that dude?
Linda Evans,
yep.
When she was much younger. And was it Ursula Andress?
Yep.
Yeah.
And he had one before that. Patty Bears. I don't know
who that is. Oh, wait.
A bunch of movies.
Was he with... God damn it. There's another one, isn't there? Deneuve?
Those are the four that he married. I don't know if he did.
He wasn't married.
Jeez, he bagged everybody.
I thought he was with Deneuve. Because Deneuve was, she was gorgeous.
How much older was he than Bo?
Like 40 years.
Cool.
She totally dug him, though.
Yeah.
Did she?
They had a lot in common.
She did. I mean, it wasn't one of those things where she just dumped out after a couple of years. In fact, I think
they
were married
for 22 years.
Yeah, they were married when he died.
Yeah, 76 to 98.
But I remember we got his phone number, and we would just call him up, and he was happy. He was delighted to be thought of as this guy that could pull any chick. He was more than happy. A couple stories from today. Did anybody – I asked about this earlier, and it didn't seem like anybody knew anything about it. There's a female rapper running for mayor in South Carolina.
I found the video.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Is it good?
Not really, but if you want to hear her acting, it's pretty hilarious. And I've got a really good fun fact after you tell a story about her.
Okay. She staged her own kidnapping and beating because she thought it would win votes for her. And she, nice. It was on Facebook, and Facebook, you know, I'm surprised it got through their vetting because they do such a good job normally. She hired a 34-year-old guy to help do this. And I guess she's...
That didn't work out well, didn't it? That didn't work out well at all, did it?
And she's driving, and he's got the gun to her head, and he's you know, telling her what to do. Mm-hmm. And she, I think they're in some way in this Facebook video, they... her opponent was blamed. Like this guy said, he was working for the other.
Yeah, there's a lot of expletives. Canada. Here's part of the clip where you can hear her fantastic act.
Bitch, fucking playing with.
This is, so I'm about 2 minutes in, and that's pretty much how the whole thing goes. There she is.
This chick is a horrible actor.
Watch. She looked right at the camera, too, as she said that. Which, why would this be being filmed anyway?
Put on her seatbelt or whatever? Jesus.
Well, I don't know. Looking by the size of her, I don't know if that seatbelt will work.
Stop this motherfucker right here, right now, bitch. Stop it.
God, that noise is annoying. Here you go.
Tell you motherfucking people. Bitch.
Fake. Fake. He's not even hitting her, by the way. Ew, look at her belly sticking out. Right? She's got a big rack.
Oh, it screams.
I know, didn't that? That
just
does something.
A struggling
funny.
Actor with a thick, meaty cock.
Fake. Fake.
What is he doing right now?
Well, you can't see, it's all dark. I know, pretty stupid, huh?
Yeah, I guess it didn't work out too well. So, it's unfortunate.
She got arrested.
Yeah.
But the fun fact about her is she had a GoFundMe for her campaign.
Uh-huh.
Where the goal was $10,000. How much do you think it raised? Anybody can guess.
$9,995.
Ooh, I like that guess. Anybody else?
$3,452.
Brandon?
$2,811.
She had one donation for $25. That might be the saddest GoFundMe I've ever seen.
That's a shame.
No wonder.
You know who else had a GoFundMe?
Who?
Stanley from Seinfeld.
Yeah.
Stanley?
The black dude?
From Seinfeld?
Yeah, isn't the character's name Stanley?
From The Office?
Stanley.
Oh, I'm sorry. The Office. The Office.
Oh, okay. Man.
Why do I get those two
really?
Shows mixed up?
I don't know.
Why?
Because the idea was to Kickstarter a spinoff of The Office starring Stanley.
Oh, cool.
And maybe a couple others. So anyway, I gathered that this was going fairly well. And then Stanley apparently posted something about his support for Black Lives Matter. And all of a sudden, people weren't so excited anymore and told him to just stick to The Office. Yeah, I guess he was sort of intermingling the project with his feelings about BLM, and it turned a little bit ugly.
Oh,
I mean, there were a lot of people who supported him throughout, but apparently some people either backed out or just, you know, decided to hurl crap at him.
Mm. He's a really funny dude, though. He was going to be at Comic-Con, but of course, COVID.
Stanley.
How old is Stanley?
Stanley?
I know.
God, I have no idea. He's one of those people who looks older than...
Yeah,
Leslie David
first name.
Baker.
Yeah.
Stan!
Leslie David Baker is currently 62 years young from Chicago, Illinois.
Okay. Well, he could have been... I mean, from the pictures I was looking at, he could have been like 40 or he could have been 65. It was hard to tell.
Yeah, it is.
So anyway, today started with another really wonderful event involving the Kenosha police.
Yeah.
And, you know, I still don't know everything about the story other than it sure looks bad because... And I can't understand. Apparently, someone called 911 because two women were fighting.
Yeah, and he was
and
breaking it up.
There's
allegedly.
A guy who ends up being shot seven times.
Seven times in the back. When the video starts, it's almost like he pops up from the one side of his car with the cops.
Mm-hmm.
Almost like they had him down or something. And then he walks, opens the car door while the kids is in the car. And the cop has his shirt and fires 7 shots at him. The guy is not dead. His name is Jacob Blake. There he is walking to his car.
Is that just one guy shooting him?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, there's 2 officers. There's a third one behind, but there's 2 main officers there.
Well, you know, it's very odd because he apparently is breaking up the fight, and somehow he becomes the target of interest.
Yeah, they wanted to talk to him, and somebody on scene said he just didn't want to talk to the police. He was afraid of the police because he has been arrested before. I mean, his rap sheet's out there because that's just how these things play out. You immediately know every horrible thing about every horrible person, cop, victim, you know, whatever, all wrapped in one. You're going to find out everything bad about him. But in that situation, he didn't want to talk to him, and he was getting in his car to leave, and the officer shot him in the back.
I'm not sure what would necessitate deadly force.
I
don't know. And you know, the more I think about it, too, as the day wore on,
he could have grabbed a gun. That's what they'll say.
Well, I'm assuming that somebody thought he had a gun. I just didn't hear that at all today.
No.
Nobody said anything like that.
Well, the 2 officers are suspended immediately. I don't know if they have body cams.
Wait, what's the second officer do?
I don't know. Did he shoot him, Brandon? Did you see him shoot the second officer?
I want to say that all the rounds came from the one officer who was point blank and pretty much just shot all 7 right into the back there. So I don't know. This is another Monday morning quarterback for everybody who wants to say what they would have done under these circumstances.
My biggest complaint about this whole topic is that I still feel like no one has really done anything about the complaint, which is that the whole procedure or the whole training for using deadly force is something is clearly wrong. I don't think a lot of people disagree with that. You know, this idea that you eliminate the person, you know, in that case, why did he shoot him 7 times? It just didn't seem necessary to me.
Yeah. Well, and as he's
but I doubt that's going to be the problem. The problem is going to be other stuff.
Well, I mean, do they not have tasers on him? Did they try to taser him?
I think they did try to tase him.
Really?
I thought I read that he tried that they already had tased him. But
yeah, and I didn't even know why they tased him.
In this case, not the one in Lafayette, Louisiana. This case, he was tased?
Oh, I don't know. What's Lafayette, Louisiana?
That's the guy walking into the convenience store.
Oh. Okay. No, you know what? Maybe I have conflated those two.
I mean, I honestly don't know. I had not seen.
There weren't a lot of details, but it just the suggestion was that he was breaking up a fight between 2 women.
Yeah.
And so I don't know. I never even see the 2 women. This is not body cam. It is somebody across the street.
You are going to hear a lot about how the kids were in the car and how horrible it is, but I don't really think that plays into the tunnel vision of the situation. That the officer probably has, right?
Well, I don't. I mean, I never.
Why would
saw
that change
kids.
His decision making?
I don't know that it would.
Yeah, I don't think it would. But you're going to hear that.
I would think though that you know, if your kids, again, I don't want to pick on this guy, but I would think if your kids are there, you would just comply and, you know, I mean, clearly they're trying to stop him, and although I don't know, they didn't try to tackle him.
That's what I thought was kind of weird. He is just walking very slow, and they're right behind him with their gun drawn. The one
they were
officer.
Commanding him apparently to stop, but he wasn't stopping. But I can't hear any audio, so it's really not a very good.
Well, you hear the gunshots and people screaming, but you don't hear them yelling to stop. Well, look, do they have a body cam?
Yeah, I think they do.
Where is it?
I'm not sure they. You know.
Yeah, you're right, Mark. It needs to be released immediately in situations like this,
stop
so that
all
people
the other,
can see.
Yeah, stop all the other noise.
So there isn't all that theory and like, you know, Brandon said, the
well, I'm not sure.
Quarterbacking.
Back that up again. Drew, watch that right there. Right.
Hold on.
So the guy grabs the door and the officer grabs him with one hand. Why wouldn't he just take him down?
I don't know. Well, he's got a gun in one hand. That's part of the problem, I guess.
He's shooting into that vehicle with kids in there. I mean, yeah. I know you've been saying that, but he's shooting into that vehicle.
Kids is in the vehicle.
Yeah.
With the door open.
Yeah, I mean, it just looks like one of those things where, what is, this cop, to me, just looks like somebody who does not know what he's doing at all.
Yeah. Yeah.
A lot of that going on.
But I don't, you know, I don't know enough about it to even say how clueless he is.
Well, I'm sure he'll know. We'll hear, you know, we've already heard how what a terrible person Jacob Blake is.
I don't know anything about Jacob Blake. What's the story about Jacob Blake?
He was arrested like a month ago. This is according to Twitter and what I've seen. A month ago for domestic assault. But, I don't know if that's real.
Is it clear that the call was about the two women? I mean, that's what they said.
That seems to be in dispute as well. So.
Oh, okay. Well. We'll see.
Kenosha, Wisconsin, by the way, very lovely city. I've been there many times.
I'm sure.
I'm not joking.
This is not the last we'll hear of this story.
It's a very white city, too.
Yeah, I don't know. How many police shootings do they have in Kenosha? Although they people in Kenosha were up in arms immediately.
Yeah.
Ever heard of the Kenosha Kickers? Great polka band.
Seriously? What about Carthage College?
I think a couple people from my high school went there.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Well, it's not that far.
No.
It's right across the border. I'm trying to read here what it says. If there's any new, it doesn't seem to be much new information about it. But he is not dead.
Boy, my day got off to a rough start today when Bram was talking about his phone. I thought what happened was just my phone. First of all, it was a mess. It had tape holding the screen on, and the screen was cracked. And so the tape was holding the pieces in place, but a couple of the pieces had gone missing. So I had to have the tape over it, or else surely I would spill into that little tiny gap at some point, just because I'm a spiller. So anyway, this morning I was I didn't get enough sleep last night, and I got up and I was like trying to get up, and then I was watching the Vow, the Nexium thing, and it was just so dreamweavery. I fell asleep with my phone in my hand and dropped it.
I can't stay awake. Just get in bed. It's like, out.
So I woke up to wham. And I'm like, oh, I dropped my phone. But I dropped my phone so many times from that distance. It didn't seem like a big deal, but it was like, oh, no. And then I thought, hopefully it's just ran out of charge.
Your cell phone blows.
I mean, that's the beauty of being at 1% is that an instance like that. When you've broken your phone, you can think that maybe you just need to charge it. So
the screen shattered or anything or no?
No. No, it didn't even land on the screen. So I charged it for, I don't know, maybe a couple hours, and it still couldn't get to 1%.
Ooh,
so
maybe someone should buy you a new one.
Did you send away for one already? I mean, you have to order.
No, I went to
some good deals.
I went to the AT&T store.
Oh,
was Lily working?
Lily was not there.
Oh, man.
But all the people working there were looking at Lily online and writing gross comments about milkers and stuff.
Here's audio of you shopping around.
How would you look at that? A flip phone. They still make those things?
Oh, look at her tubes on that one.
Those milkers.
Oh, so God. I go
is
in.
She on all the phone screens?
Should be.
I start talking to the guy at AT&T, and you know, he's saying, oh, you got your contacts backed up or what? And I said, I don't think I do, actually. And he said, well, you know what you need to do? He said, this doesn't look that bad. And I'm thinking, it doesn't look that bad. There's pieces of tape on my phone. There's all these pieces of glass that are taped together or held together by the tape. And then there's a couple gaps in there that if the tape ever fails, I'm finished. And he says, go over to You Broke It, I Fix It next door.
Yeah.
Like three doors. Oh, you Broke It, I Fix It?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so I went over there.
You break, I Fix, I think.
Yeah. And I've
been there many times.
And I'm thinking, oh, this is not going to work. But I get up there and goes, you broke your screen? I said, I don't know. I dropped it and it doesn't work anymore. That's all I know. He goes, hold on a sec. Comes back like a minute later. He says, yeah, come by in about an hour and 20 minutes, and should have it ready for you. I'm like, what?
Whoa.
Usually
what?
It's faster than that, man.
Well,
They're awesome there. I was talking to him when I was there one time just about the store itself, and he goes, it's no mistake. Whenever you see one of those places, it's going to be in a strip mall. Buy an AT&T or Verizon store. Or phone
no, it was
store.
Perfect. So, yeah, it was beautiful.
Brilliant of them.
Although it cost AT&T some business.
Yeah, but
I would have just bought a phone.
Maybe you'll be a longer customer because the guy was honest with you and told you to go over there.
Well, that's kind of nice.
And plus, Lily works there, so that's.
I could use a new phone anyway.
Yeah, someone should get on.
But oh my God, what a relief! I seriously, I felt like my life was over. It's like this phone will not charge. I have no way to do anything now.
Yeah.
life as I know it is over.
Gotta have a phone.
Yeah, here's a nice piece of shit.
But
I mean, there's nothing you can do until you get the phone.
I know.
Like, you have to just go get the phone right now. And it's like, I'm tired. I didn't get enough sleep. That's why I dropped the phone. I was so tired. And now I have to take a shower. I got to really get moving and do stuff. And this sucks.
I know. I don't know how we ever did anything without phones.
I got a new one today.
Well, what'd you get?
Note 20 Ultra.
What is that? I don't even know what that means.
It's the latest Samsung.
What happened to your old one? Does Zeus have 15 now?
No. If you send it back in, you get $400 back.
Zeus. I was at my parents' over the weekend, and I don't know how this came up, but my mom was like, your father really loves that battery store. Battery store? What? Batteries Plus? Yes, he knows the manager there. He goes there all the time. Anytime something. I'm like, what is this weird obsession my dad has with batteries for his computer, for his phone, for everything? He's constantly going to the battery store. I just think it's really weird.
How does he burn batteries out so fast?
I don't know. Well, that's the weird thing, too, because whenever he works on a laptop, he is insistent that it's plugged in. So I'm like, what? It makes no sense. If you're always plugged in, what do you need a battery for? I don't know. I guess maybe he needs stuff to do now that he's retired.
That is a weird friendship, though, the battery store guy.
I know. He just likes looking at different batteries, I suppose. I don't know.
Well, I swear, sometimes people, when they get up in years, they just like to putter around at certain places.
Yeah, maybe. So many batteries.
Did we talk about AutoZone yesterday?
Not on the air, no.
That story is just so weird. It's about this AutoZone where this guy buys batteries for his car, and his battery isn't working. He bought it in May, so he went in a few days ago because the battery is dead, mm-hmm. and they're guaranteed for a couple years or something like that. So he says, yeah, battery doesn't work, and so the guy takes it to look at it or something, and his boss, the manager, notices the customer and says, okay, I will charge this battery for you, but I will not replace it because this is the fifth battery you've brought in since May. So that's May is five. In 3 months, he's brought in five batteries. And the thing was that, I guess the feeling was that, you know, one battery, two batteries, but five batteries not working, or five batteries going south. Yeah, very fishy. So this guy says, okay, yeah, I guess he said he would charge it and he would get it back in 3 hours. And then there was some debate about how long it took to charge it and were they blowing him off. But he asked the clerk, the original guy he talked to, I believe it was the original guy. He asked him, why would he not give him a new battery? And then he pushed record on his phone before the guy could answer. And so the guy was pissed that he turned his phone on, like, oh, and said,
the conversation went like, he said, what's your name? As he turns on the phone. And the manager told him his name, pointed to the badge on his shirt. Customer repeated it. And then the manager said, yes, man, put me on Facebook, the white power oppressor, man. And then the customer said, white power? And the manager said, yeah, go ahead. I'm sure he was annoyed at the whole situation.
Yeah.
And probably being filmed.
And actually,
obviously,
the
stupid
one
thing to say if you're being filmed.
Well, I think it was pretty obvious he was being sarcastic and he didn't like being filmed. But he did say that he regretted that he said that because he said he shouldn't have said it. But I thought that was possibly the most honest thing in the story because everything else is in dispute.
Yeah, but if you have a warranty on a battery and that guy brings it back 5 times or 50 times, it's a warranty.
Yeah.
Well, he wanted to know what he was using the battery for because he thought, you know, is he hooking it up to something that's just sucking the juice out of it? Because they just aren't used to people blowing through batteries that quickly or batteries failing that often. And he said that he asked him if he had hooked it up to a high power stereo, which is one of the things that will drain a battery. And the guy claimed that he asked him if he was cooking meth. I mean, it was just someone is just lying through their teeth here.
Yeah.
Either the guy who says he asked him about the stereo is lying or the customer is lying. But the customer, Let's see. Okay. So,
the manager also said in the story, the man filming me with her cell phone, I was pretty frustrated. And I did tell him, look, put me on Facebook, do what you want, tell the world what a nasty white man is oppressing you if that's what you want to do, but get out of my store. It was a little unprofessional of me. They were looking for trouble. They were trying to make something out of it. They were accusing a Hispanic manager of refusing to serve them because they were black, and they were standing there saying what a bitch she was. I took that bait, told them to report it on Facebook, whatever you want. I shouldn't have said it. I was being deeply sarcastic. I mean, I believe this guy.
Well, he acknowledges it. At least somebody acknowledges that acknowledges something the other person said happened. Because after that, there isn't much of that.
Except now there's a lawsuit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And it just devolves.
That's why we know
it just goes downhill so quickly. So Gray, the customer, said before he went to the AutoZone, he called ahead of time, reported a problem with his battery. He was told he could bring it in for another one. But when he got to the store, he was told otherwise. So he pulled out his cell phone to videotape the manager's explanation. I wanted to get him on record saying I couldn't bring the battery back. Instead, he ended up saying what he said. It brought back memories. AutoZone issued this statement. We take this information seriously, blah, blah, blah. Litigation is pending. Will not offer any additional commentary at this time. It was late Friday afternoon when Brandy Gray got the call from his mother got the call from her 21-year-old son, Nayon. He said, Mom, something just happened. I got to talk to you when I get there. Soon after Nayon returned home, he told her what happened at the AutoZone and showed her the video. I broke down, Brandy Gray said, noting she'd spent most of her life trying to teach her children to see the best in people. I just want them to understand that these are things that are not supposed to happen. I don't want them to think that this is something everyone does. Brandy Gray then called her dad for support, calling him her go-to person, and then the bad memories came rushing back. Brandy Gray, who works in materials at General Motors, born in Detroit, grew up in Ohio, moved back to Detroit in her adult years, while raising her five children, she decided to leave the city for better schools and move to Dearborn Heights. However, her 14-year-old son would be bullied in his mostly white middle school so badly she had to call the school and ask for help. Kids stole his shoes, hid his things, scrawled his locker with racial slurs, threatened to hang him and damage his house, she said. I never experienced racism until we moved to Dearborn. It was through my children. During his son's middle school years, Brandy Gray tried to teach him what he was being subjected to wasn't the norm and they could rise above it. Same advice she gave him when he returned from AutoZone. These are not normal things. It doesn't mean you're less of a person. Pass it on to your children. So then...
It also doesn't mean that the manager of AutoZone knows any of this.
No.
It's
well,
not important to the... Let's believe everything she says. That sucks for you, but it has nothing to do with the situation.
Also, it seems that the son may not have told her everything because there's a discussion about the other clerk and calling her a bitch. And I don't know if he passed that along unless they just made it up.
Yeah.
Brandy Gray wants people to know racism.
Go home to mommy.
It could have gone so many ways, she said, struggling to speak at times. You have no clue what we've been through. According to the lawsuit, here's what happened that prompted Gray to get a lawyer and file suit. August 7, Gray returned a battery to the store he had bought 3 weeks earlier. It had problems. It was under warranty. The store manager refused to honor the warranty. Lawsuit does not mention assistant manager or any past battery purchases. Goes on to say that Isles, the manager, told Gray he had to leave the battery and come back later. The manager had offered to charge the battery but not replace it. Gray then asked the manager why he couldn't use the warranty and pulled out his cell phone to tape the response. That's when the manager made racially insensitive remarks and urged Gray to put them on social media. The manager made additionally racially insensitive comments, including accusing Gray of using chemicals in the battery to make drugs. Which the manager, by the way, says is absolutely 100% BS. The manager then told Gray to come back and pick up the battery in 3 hours. As advised, he returned, but the manager advised it would take another 45 minutes, so he left and came back. Again, the manager told him wasn't ready, which was not true, the lawsuit claims, alleging a different employee emerged and stated the battery was charged before handing it off to Gray. The manager not only lied, the lawsuit alleges, but he embarrassed and humiliated Gray in an inhumane manner and denied him services because of the color of his skin. And it wasn't just the manager. Other employees at AutoZone witnessed the racist remarks, denial, and delay of service to Gray and failed to step in and provide him the services afforded to others that are not black. AutoZone is also named in the lawsuit. Isles, meanwhile, denies any wrongdoing, says he never mistreated Gray because he is black, nor did he ever accuse him of using battery chemicals to make drugs. He also said that he asked Gray whether he had ever misused the batteries he had bought from AutoZone in a way that may have damaged them, such as hooking them up to a stereo system.
I'm kind of focused on this whole thing. Do people use car batteries to make drugs?
Not that I know of. I don't know. I would not know.
I don't know either.
And I also had sound systems that had big wattage and huge speakers and... Yeah, I never rolled through four batteries within a couple, you know.
No.
I didn't have any issue.
I would love to know what is eating up all the charge in these batteries. Yeah. I think it would be interesting to know.
Well, maybe they're all lemons.
Yeah, right.
Come on.
Iles said
he got a bad batch.
Iles said he never brought up drugs. Maintaining his beef with Gray had to do with him repeatedly returning batteries and claiming he was mistreated because he was black. The point that we're trying to communicate is, look, sir, there's a small chance you'd receive four bad batteries in a row. According to Iles, AutoZone records show that Gray bought his first battery on May the 9th, returned it 2 days later. He got a second one under warranty, then returned that one 7 weeks later and got a third battery, again under warranty, on July 1st. He returned that battery July 22nd and got the fourth one. And when he came back for a fifth battery, the store said no. He was in my store again on August 7th. That's why my manager was saying, no, come on, guy, fix your car. It's not the battery that's bad. Iles fired back with what he said was a politically insensitive comment. I don't think it was racially insensitive, Iles said, of his white oppressor comments. Iles said it was Gray and his friend who made race an issue in the store that day. I don't think I owe him an apology, even.
Did he check his alternator?
However, Iles said he would apologize to others who may interpret his comments as racist. For anyone who might believe I would apologize to that person, I'm sorry you got that impression. The world is full enough of nasty. He's candid about his actions, willing to talk about what happened because he has nothing to hide.
Yeah, seems pretty honest and open.
I'm aware of the whole Black Lives Matter movement going on, people filming other people doing things. When I told them, put this online, I had nothing to hide. I'm not embarrassed about my decision. I'm not ashamed. I don't feel I treated them unjustly.
It sounds like you can use battery acid to make meth, which is more of a white person drug, isn't it? Just saying.
I don't know.
You don't think meth is a white person drug?
I don't know. I really
definitely,
don't.
It definitely is.
Yeah.
Why do black people not like meth?
Well, maybe they do. I don't know. I just always associate it with white people. That's the media playing with my mind.
Well, what is a black person's drug?
Well, crack. I mean, crack was very common in
the
inner city.
Are people still smoking crack these days?
Crack is whack, man. I think it's subsided. You don't hear about it too much.
What?
I don't hear about crack too much these days.
I hear about it all the time.
I hear about meth, and I hear about, unfortunately, a lot of freaking heroin in this area, too. A lot of heroin in Southeast
that
Michigan.
That also seems to be a white person.
Fentanyl.
Race, ethnicity, and gender differences in drug use and abuse.
It's interesting.
Oh, this will take me a long time to read. all right. You want to kick us out of here?
Since we're talking about race, can I mention the other big story locally today about it? That the police talked about the Detroit Will Breathe movement and the 42 people arrested. And I really like what the deputy chief said today. Did you see any of this or no?
I saw the story today on the new news.
Yeah, where he just said to Detroit Will Breathe, you're not welcome, go. In other words, we're not putting up with this shit anymore. Because what is the point of all this? Which I thought they were pretty strong in coming out and saying that. And more power to him, man.
I saw Chief Craig saying it's non-negotiable. He will not allow a new Portland autonomous zone in Detroit.
Which you could see that when he was on.
Oh, God.
What?
An autonomous zone.
Well, no, he said you won't see that.
No, I know.
Which is kind of what he said when he was on with ML. He said, and a lot of that goes back to his time in L.A. during the L.A. riots. And he thought that was handled very poorly when the police retreated from protecting the area. I don't know. I just thought their messages today were pretty good and pretty on point.
He would thought it was terrible when Seattle retreated?
No. He was LA. In Los, Craig was in Los Angeles.
Oh,
during
okay.
the LA riots in 92.
I know that the police chief in Seattle, who resigned, by the way, she was not happy that they gave up the police precinct because she was told to leave.
By who?
By the mayor, I guess.
Yeah, city council.
She did not feel. I mean, there's a real disconnect there. I mean, the idea that this is going to be a big conflict, so just let them go.
Well,
and some people feel that no, you don't just offer people up things to destroy and commit crimes. I mean, the police. She didn't feel that way.
Well, Seattle really crossed the line last night when they put paint on the Chris Cornell statue.
Yeah, damn it!
They vandalized the statue of Chris Cornell.
I thought it was so cute that all his fans rushed out and cleaned him up.
I know. So stupid.
Did you see that in Portland they were throwing feces balloons at the police?
How do you make a feces balloon?
I don't know. That's what everyone's asking.
How do you get feces in a balloon? Wow, I guess a syringe, right?
I have no idea.
Man. Well, You know, they say necessity is the mother of invention, I guess. When you need a feces balloon, there's going to be a way to figure it out.
Yeah, I don't know why you need a feces balloon. They were tired of throwing the frozen water bottles?
Like single-use plastic, and they just wanted to...
Reusable, Trudy, is that what you're saying? Yeah.
Colorful stuff.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, boy.
I'm looking for the story.
Just say, are you all right over there? Or are you falling asleep? What story? What story?
The one about feces balloons.
What story?
A couple of people sent it to me. I mean, it was it was quite something.
Hey, here's a story that just came across. Jim Baker got PPP loans during his legal fight on fraud claims.
Oh, my God.
I swear.
$650,000 in PPP. Oh, no, and uh-huh. 1.70. He had two rounds of the PPP. Good job, Bakes.
I think I need to hear George Carlin on religion pretty soon.
Yeah.
How's that go? Something about how, God's just not a great money manager. He needs more money. Always needs more money. And if you don't give him more money, then it's on the same record with the environmental, I think it's that 5-minute clip we played before, but it's, God, that's a great album. We need George at this time. We need George and Alicia Keys and we'll be fine.
Nice getting a PPP loan for a fraudulent product.
Yeah.
I can't understand how that motherfucker ever got back on TV.
It's just he's too handsome to keep off.
Oh, all right. Have a good one. We will see you tomorrow.
He loves you and he needs money. He always needs money. He's all powerful, all perfect, all knowing, and all wise. Somehow, just can't handle money. Religion takes in billions of dollars. They pay no taxes, and they always need a little more. Now, you talk about a good bullshit story. Holy shit.